listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, paragraph indent, I make intense sense. Niggas on that Gil Scott dope, hint hint. At age 15 they start smoking Billy Clint, and now he's 21 and wanna know where the time went. Hey, 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 what's the haps? We'll see your time elapse. Have you ever thought of the meaning of the word trap? Baboon on your back, but what's that? It's that crack. Was it was in, wait, hold on. Baboon on your back, but what's this? Well, what's sad is that crack was introduced to Hispanic communities and blacks, but then it got spread to white and got everybody undivided attention because your daughter is on it and you can't hide it. Maybe your son tried it. Rehab too crowded. You scared, she scared, they scared. I said they scared, they scared to talk about it, about it, about it, about it. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy with Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Aaron.
And we're here on a Sunday morning, just barely. Ready to do some podcasting, get this week started off right. All right, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously, but we first and foremost have to say that we are sponsored. Okay, if you're listening to this, you should be listening to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, somewhere where you hear podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Okay, if you like the show, leave us a 5-star review. If it's nice, we'll read it on the air when we do our feedback show. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is actually brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, but they don't have any copy they want me to read. They just wanted me to say fuck Donald Trump. So don't tell them, but I would have done it for free.
Come on, dog. That's why we fuck with Dexter.
So yeah, today's podcast is brought to you by fuck Donald Trump. And yeah,
I know Dexter fuck around and have a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm. So yep, I appreciate Shadow Dog Productions. You can go find them on Twitter at Shadow Dog Prod and a bunch of other places, man. What's going on in y'all world? Hearing about this NFL boycott thing happening? It's not even a boycott anymore. It's like Donald Trump said some fuck shit about Kaepernick and NFL players taking a knee and they don't need to have jobs and need to be fired and all that stuff. And so this morning, a lot of people, a lot of NFL teams, a lot of people talking about they're going to take a knee now. You know, there's owners that are talking about they're going to take a knee. Teams are releasing statements against Donald Trump, not against police brutality. Not against racial injustice, not against systemic white supremacy, but they are releasing statements against Donald Trump's comments, saying that he is only trying to divide us and they're meant to be divisive. I'm sure me and Justin will talk about this on Balls Deep, but Balls Deep ain't till Friday this week, so we'll probably talk about it today on the show as well, you know, since because fuck it, it's our show, nobody can tell us what to do.
Nope.
It was so bad Stevie Wonder took a knee for America.
What?
Yeah, he said he took both knees for America. And Stevie wasn't at an NFL game or nothing. He was just doing a concert and he was like, I'm taking a knee.
He was like, fuck it.
Right. So I mean, that's how real America's sweetheart Stevie Wonder said, listen, I have to talk about this shit. what I find interesting in all this is Stevie did give comments. He didn't just take the knee. He said, tonight, I'm taking a knee for America, but not just one knee. I'm taking both knees, he said on stage Saturday before his performance at the Global Citizens Festival. Both knees in prayer for our planet, our future, our leaders of the world, and our globe. Amen. I don't know if... I feel like what's happening here is lost in the sauce, is that this is no longer about Kaepernick's protest.
Mm-mm.
And it's no longer about the things that he was saying.
Nope.
Which I understand people think they're showing solidarity, but to me, this is the easy way out.
Come on, dog. Come on.
And I hate to be that guy. I know a lot of people. There was a guy on my Facebook page that was kind of mad at me for saying that I don't really, I don't really give any props, any credit to the NFL or the teams or the people taking the knee right now.
Mm-mm.
You know, even Stevie's comment is, I'm taking this knee to pray. you know, taking two knees to pray. So it's not even about the protest, you know, and I'm not saying Stevie ain't about it, but
right,
just saying that's not the point. You know, I do understand people want to be against Trump, and so that's what a large part of this is.
Right,
is,
right.
You know, he said something, so now we have to say something back. But within all that, it kind of becomes about Trump to a certain extent. And, you know, this isn't me trying to, I'm not trying to, I know it probably sounds like I get on here and just downplay this shit, but I'm really not trying to downplay it. I'm just trying to say what it is and take it for what it is and not for what people are hoping that it will be or could be. Maybe it'll become something stronger in the future, but as of right now, what this is mostly rich white people and athletes that aren't really taking Kaepernick's like stance.
Correct.
It's a bunch of rich men saying you can't tell us what to do.
Right.
You know, Donald Trump essentially went on was at a rally and went on TV and basically said that NFL players who take a knee are disrespecting the flag and the country, and they need to be fired or suspended. Now, when you level something like that at the NFL, you're essentially telling a bunch of billionaire white men who they can and cannot have on their roster and what they can and cannot do from the bully pulpit of the presidency. So to me, seeing an owner kneel right now, I mean, this is the easy way out, because this kneeling isn't about, well, I agree with my players that cops and all these people are racially oppressing people. I'm not agreeing that these cops have police brutality issues and they need to check those issues. That's not what's happening. You know, they're protesting their right to make money and to make it in the way that they see fit. You know, not lost in all this, Donald Trump also talks shit about the product of the NFL. And, you know, this is kind of the Confederate statue thing, where I don't get too excited about the Confederate statue thing, although I'm not against it. I'm very for it. Pull the statues down. I don't give a fuck about them people's statues. What you want a bunch of second place trophies in America for? I don't understand. But at the same time, people want to tear down the statues so they don't talk about the bigger issues behind why are those statues up
in the first place. Correct.
You know, we don't want to have that conversation. That's a tough conversation to have. Like, why do white people need these statues? Why is it important that the white people that lost this war of racism get to craft a narrative that it's not about racism, it's not about slavery, it's not about greed, it's just about states' rights? And it's like, well, what does those mean? The states' rights of owner, people to own slaves in those states. You know, why did those statues and shit not pop up until like segregation times? Like, why is it during the civil rights era that people, Confederate flag made a comeback? We don't have those conversations in our schools. We don't have them socially, and we don't have them politically. And it feels like pulling out a statue is an easier fix than saying, what puts a statue like that in place? What about the statues to them in our history, in our literature, in our entertainment, in our, you know, in our social, discourse? Like, what about those statues? You know, the statues that tell me that I have to worship Thomas Jefferson because he wrote so poetically while essentially holding captive and raping a young slave. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they want to spin that act. They was in love. Fuck you. She was a goddamn slave.
She was a child. Sally Hemings was a child. But the point, I'm not trying to debate it. I'm saying literally, what's the point of you pulling down a statue but allowing that history to stay up? You know, what's the point of that? What's the point of being applauded for your sheet caking jokes about not doing shit and then on the way out making jokes about Sally Hemings? Like, what's the point of that? Because we still want to keep these pillars up, but we don't really want to examine why they're there in the first place. And then when we tear the pillars down, we do it as a, this is the end of the conversation,
right? Because we don't really want to talk about it,
right? Like, and these statements, us,
white folks don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, and some, yeah, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it.
Some black people, but overall, yeah, the people that need to be talking about are white folks. They don't want to address it.
I agree. I agree. I just think there's a lot of black people that are complicit in this too, because
correct,
we and it's understandable, but it's from two different angles, right? It's either, right, I'm coping with this and I'm in denial of this and I just want to survive and not think about it, so can you please stop bringing up racial stuff? You know, there's that, and then there's the other people that have decided, like, I'm fully buying into white supremacy, I'm on the side of these white folks, and y'all just leave these good white people alone. There's those folks, you know. And then there's the people that are like, this is too painful a bandage, I don't want to examine this. Like, this, like, you, I don't want to rip the band-aid off and start looking at the history of my people in America and how we've been, you know, brutalized and shit. So I'm not going to talk about it. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of angles for people to not discuss it. But the point being, this shit right here isn't fueling a discussion. It's not starting a dialogue. This is about shutting a dialogue down.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And, also when, like I said, the conversations for white people to have, black people, like you said, they have defense mechanisms. All those are defense mechanisms for most black people, in my opinion. Like, each one of those is a way to kind of work your way and live in a system that's designed for white supremacy, in my opinion. And I feel as though how you deal with it is how you deal with it, but most people deal with it, most black people deal with it, because as of now, there's no way to resolve it unless it's back to the foundation. White folks talk about it and white folks address it. So until you get to that point, how to respond is just how niggas respond to it.
I hear you. I'm not like I said, I'm just being factual right now. I'm not correct, even trying to, I'm not judging anybody. Because honestly, white people have these defense mechanisms too.
Yes, they do.
Like, so it's, you know, white people had a power to change shit systemically, but at the same time they won't, because they also are too busy worried about their feelings. You know, like, it hurts my feelings to think about the role that my ancestors played in this shit. It hurts my feelings to say my founding fathers are not the heroes I was brought up to believe in, but they are multifaceted. There's some bad things about them and some good things, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, so anyway, Donald Trump though steps into the fray and he gives everybody a symbolic person to unite against.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, some of these NFL owners gave millions of dollars to this guy,
mm-hmm,
while he was running for office. Rex Ryan voted for him, a former coach in the NFL. He says he voted for him, and, well, I didn't vote for this, I didn't know it would be like that.
Bitch, yes you did, because
this is what he campaigned on. Right?
Yeah, if you voted for him, you voted for this. You cannot separate those things. I understand. You voted for racism, but you ain't expecting to be this racist.
I don't know how you didn't expect him to be this racist when he campaigned on it, though. I don't think it's a valid excuse.
Me either.
Because I just think what's happening now is the quote-unquote buyer's remorse, the sticker shock, the shit that a lot of white people experienced with Obama, too. Where when America started, you know, especially racist America started pushing back against Obama, it was, well, I just thought he was going to get things done. Da, 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 da. I regret voting for him. Well, now you're seeing the shit with Trump where his popularity is waning, and unlike Obama, deservedly so. Like, he literally is the worst possible president they could have picked. And so now you're going to have a lot of, well, hold up, I just thought he was going to change things up, I just wanted something different. We're going to have that when he was openly racist, openly misogynistic, openly xenophobic, openly anti-Muslim, openly anti-LGBTQ. Like, we knew these things, and yet people are going to pretend to be shocked now so they can distance themselves and say they're not bad people. But these NFL owners absolutely voted for this dude. Mm-hmm. These NFL owners gave this man millions of dollars. You think, listen, if they really believe what's in these statements they're releasing about, we stand with, we are with our players and the right to do this, Kaepernick will have a job.
Yes, he would.
Like, I don't want to insult anybody, but a lot of people looking like suckers right now. Like, giving this shit props, talking about it's good, finally about time. You like a fucking sucker to me. Like, this is nothing. It's literally the least they can do. Like, honestly, it's honestly the least they can do after what he said. Cause the only other alternative was them firing a bunch of dudes, suspending a bunch of dudes, and all that shit. And you knew they weren't gonna do that. They weren't gonna be like, well, look, Martellus Bennett and Michael Bennett, we gotta bench them. We gotta bench our best players cause the president says. So that wasn't even a fuck on, that was never on the table. So now we gotta go with the reality of it. The reality of it is, these motherfuckers was like, you're not gonna tell me what to do. I'm a fucking billionaire white man too. They elected Donald Trump for being a billionaire white man talking about racism and shit. That's the only reason. He has no other qualification in the world. And that's a presumptive billionaire to well, by that, you know.
Yeah,
by
we
the
don't
way.
Really know. Cause we don't actually know. We ain't put out no numbers and right. No shit like that.
We don't actually know what the fuck
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, this could be made up. Nigga could be broke for all we know. We'll never know.
Right. So, yeah, I just think, you know, I just think it's kind of interesting because I really feel like this statement, Mike Tomlin, his whole team, the Steelers, they're like, we're not gonna come out for the national anthem before the game. We're gonna stay in the locker room. And I was like, oh wow, that's what I'm talking about. Like, cool. Like, now that's a statement. Look at this black coach coming out. Steelers are one of the most racially progressive teams. The Rooney Rule, where they have to interview black coaches, is because of the Steelers owner, right? Okay. Here's the
and
statement.
We're not going to play politics with football players, with football coaches. We're not participating in the anthem today. Not to be disrespectful to the anthem, to remove ourselves from this circumstance. People shouldn't have to choose. If a guy wants to go about his normal business and participate in the anthem, he shouldn't be forced to choose sides. If a guy feels a need to do something, he shouldn't be separated from his teammate who chooses not to. So we're not participating today. That's our decision. We're going to be 100%. We came here to play a football game. That's our intent.
That's nothing. That's literally nothing. That's literally the least you can do. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not like the absence of taking a stand is not taking a stand in this instance to me. And I'm not giving people credit for that. You know, other people can.
Picking a side is picking a side, and people don't want to admit that. Non-action is an action, and people don't want to admit that either. And the foundation of this is that you would not have heard a motherfucking thing from the bulk of all these letters, all these statements, people speaking up. People wouldn't have said a goddamn thing until they had a personal affront by what this man said. Black people mad, your players mad, fuck it, nobody gives a goddamn. But he's talking about me, so now I feel like I gotta make a stand. And your stand means nothing, because if you really want to take a stand, you would actually take a stand in the foundation of your league, not just a stand against this man.
The other thing is, if this is true, then are y'all never coming out for the anthem again?
He just said for today.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's my point. If this is true, you shouldn't have to pick. You shouldn't be, no one's forcing anybody to do anything, by the way. You shouldn't be forced to stand. You shouldn't be forced to, no one's forcing anybody to do anything. Literally, the only thing that's being forced is the one rule that is being broken, which is that you have to leave the locker room. Like, that's actually in the NFL bylaws. All games must kick off within 10 minutes at the end of the visiting team's introduction. Both teams must be on the field for the national anthem in all games. So, that's the only actual rule you can't violate. But, yeah, you know, that's very, I don't know. To me, that's not a stance. You know, I hate to say that about Mike Tomlin, but that's not a stance. That's not a, you know, Seattle released a statement, and I'm like, that's not actually a stance that y'all released. Y'all just, your statement was like, people have rights. They can do what they want, even if we disagree. We all respect the military and the flag, but some of them feel like this is some racism thing going, I don't know. They said, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even,
it's like somebody I want to say, do you know why you angry other than Donald Trump said something? Like, I read, why are you angry? Are you?
I honestly think they angry that he said the NFL play sucks. I swear to God, I'm not even joking. I honestly think, cause the heart of the matter in all this shit, all the people boycotting, all the people that just aren't interested in watching anymore, all the people that stopped watching long ago for other reasons. Mm-hmm. it's not as entertaining, and that one hurt.
Because that's a fact. Because
that's the one thing they don't want to admit or have to deal with in this, is like, oh no, I'm not watching because your game's, your product's not as good. You reached a pinnacle a few years ago, and it had to go down. You can't grow forever. You're already on every TV. You're already on every channel. You're already on every night. You're already on all social media. You were already everywhere.
You're in England. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
y'all.
Like, y'all started doing shit that people don't even fucking want. Like,
right.
I don't want to wake up at 9:30 to watch two sorry teams play in England.
Come on.
You know, I don't want to turn on Thursday night football with players on 3 days of rest and the game sucks for the most part. Like, no, you know, between two sorry teams, like, you don't even have enough good teams to consistently put three primetime games on a week that people can watch. Like, even the NBA got that. Like, the NBA has a good consistent, like, fucking 6 to 8 teams worth watching every fucking year, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every, like, they can consistently be like, all right, you know what, going into the next year, we're gonna put the Warriors, the Thunder, the Cavs, mm-hmm, and the Spurs on TV.
Houston,
a lot.
Yeah.
Houston, the Clippers.
Yeah.
Boston. Like, right, they consistently have a certain amount of teams.
The Raiders take care of business as expected.
Anyway, they consistently have a certain amount of teams they can depend on. The NFL don't even have that anymore. Mm. Year in and year out, they have like maybe 2 or 3, maybe. Like, you know, the Patriots are probably going to be pretty good. And that's it. Because of parity and whatnot and injuries and shit, but
yeah, and they make make rules and shit where you can't do certain things that you're able to do. So, you know, a lot of teams used to like trade players and stack teams and shit like that. Like, they made it where you can't build these teams as you used to build, and people are like, I don't want to watch mediocre ball.
Yeah, I won't even say it's about not being able to make the teams, because you still can do it. Like, the NBA actually did more to try to stop that kind of shit, and they still can't do it. Mm-hmm. But it's not even about like not being able to stack a team. It's just literally players get hurt too much, and there's too many there's just too much uncertainty in football, and there's no incentive for a team to be good when you're already at your maximum profit. All your games will be televised. You're already getting the TV profits. All the games will be sold out, because people buy football tickets whether it's good or bad. And if a team is really bad and they're not making the attendance, which means that the game won't be on TV, local businesses will come in, buy up the tickets so that the game can be on TV. So, like, it's just there's no way to lose in an NFL franchise. So, there's no incentive to be great at what you do. And I think that's what we're seeing here, is people don't want to watch shitty games, and it helps now that, you know, and especially in the advent of social media where everybody can have a cause and shit. Now you're seeing more people be like, well, I don't watch, and it's not just that the shit is boring, but I don't watch for this reason. And I say that to bring up this. Britt McCune, who's a white, blonde Fox News type chick, she's on Twitter talking about, I'm not watching NFL games today because all these players talking about they're gonna protest the flag. Now she will turn around and say, that's why the ratings are down. That's what she's gonna say tomorrow. Watch, but then the reason that I never gave people like that props, and I never will give them credit, because I don't think that they did bring the ratings down. I really just think the game's not as good as it used to be, so people don't watch.
Correct.
That was the reason I couldn't really get behind people saying, like, it's the ratings going down because it's Kaepernick shit. Not really. It's the same thing. Like, we want to take the credit, but it's not really, that's not what's stopping people from watching a fucking game. None of us even watch the National Anthem. Mm-hmm. The thing that's stopping us from watching the game is it ain't good.
Right.
So you start thinking and doing other shit. You start, like, you have room to think about it, because the NFL's always had trash people and trash niggas in it, and trash shit going on, mm-hmm, on the sideline, and mm-hmm, trash racism and all. It's just been a better, more entertaining product than it's been trash to a lot of people. And now it's not anymore. The other thing I wanted to say, though, in these statements, listen to these statements. This is from John Maher and Steve Tisch of the Giants. Comments like we heard last night from the president are inappropriate, offensive, and divisive. We are proud of our players, the vast majority of whom use their NFL platform to make a positive difference in our society.
Yeah, the statement is also generic in general.
So what does that have to do with why Kaepernick took a knee?
Come on, dog.
What does that have to do with why y'all won't hire him?
Right, and I think for people, particular people that have worked in corporate America and people that deal with language a lot, and like I said, corporate America deal with language a lot, you can read that. You go, okay, y'all not really saying nothing. Like, if you really trying to say something, there's certain words and certain phrases and certain terms that you use if you're trying to make a point, if you're trying to take a stance, and if you really stand behind what you're saying. Basically, this is a generic, we don't want to offend nobody, we don't want to, this is the Michael Jordan Republicans buy Nike shit too. Like, you don't want to offend your white racist fan base, because they already ticked because the nigga took a knee and everybody upset about that on their side. And then you don't want to make the black folks mad, because you know a lot of them mad because y'all won't give Kaepernick a job, and you can't ignore that shit either. So it's like, hey, everybody buy tickets, right?
The other part about that statement is it's designed to stop the shit, right? Like, it's essentially designed to say, can we just kill this conversation, get back to football? That's what it's designed to do. That's why I'm not giving it credit as some type of social, like, wow, thank you so much, you really spoke up. We are proud of our players, the vast majority of you whom use their NFL platform to make a positive difference in our society. Those were not questions. No one ever brought that up.
Nope.
Dolphins owner Stephen Rice: our country needs unifying leadership right now, not more divisiveness. We need to seek to understand each other and have civil discourse instead of condemnation and sound bites. I know our players who kneel for the anthem, and these are smart young men of character who want to make our world a better place for everyone. They wanted to start a conversation and are making a difference in our community, including working with law enforcement to bring people together. We can all benefit from learning, listening, and respecting each other. Sports are a common denominator in our world. We all had a responsibility to use this platform to promote understanding, respect, and equality. Number one, where was that statement after motherfucking Sage Sassafras Steel was up here talking shit about your players last year, right? Like, where was the statement of, hey, we support these guys, they good people, they work in our community? Secondly, once again, you didn't say shit. Hey, they good people, and they all helping the community, and they even work with the cops, so you know they good. I mean, so what about that whole thing where, you know, over-policing, police brutality, systemic racial injustice? I mean, look, we just need to listen to each other and respect each other, and understand we can all make a difference.
And the biggest thing that's, and maybe, I'm not even gonna lie, maybe because it's a trigger word for me, this goddamn divisive word and divisiveness, and you wanna divide, that's killing me with them using that word, because now it's divisive because it's your shit. When this nigga's out here stumping and you were giving him billions of dollars, and black people saying, hey, y'all do know he dividing the country, you didn't wanna hear that shit. But it's only divisive when it's your shit. Not divisive when your players are like, hey, he's going against me and everything I stand for, and actually attacking my existence, and there was no divisiveness there. You actually agreed with him on that, because if you didn't, you would have said something.
Yeah, also, divisive is a word we use as if it's describing what, if it's an action, like it's an action, like, wow, you are being divisive. That literally does not exist.
Mm-mm.
Like, I honest to God, the word is bullshit. The word doesn't even matter. It's not a thing that people can do. You either are divided or you're not. People can either point out those divides or they can't. They can't literally divide you. If they point out something, then if they're able to divide you, then you were divided. You see what I'm saying? Like, people want it both ways. And the reason I hate that word is because they use it against Obama too.
Right.
The divider in chief. He's so divisive. And you're like, no, he said Black Lives Matter. He's the first president to ever say that. So now he's divisive. He said his son, if he had one, would have looked like Trayvon Martin when Trayvon Martin was killed, and he was being divisive. Or was he just pointing out that I'm a black man and I have a black wife and I have black children, and if we would have had a son, he would have been black, and if him getting killed on the way home from getting Skittles is not acceptable in this country. And it's like, why are you dividing us? Why are you bringing that up? we voted for you to stop doing it so that there wouldn't, no one would ever bring up race again. That's why they did it.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
Jed York, 49 CEO. The callous and offensive comments made by the president are contradictory to what this great country stands for. Our players have exercised their rights as United States citizens in order to spark conversation and action to address social injustice. We will continue to support them in their peaceful pursuit of positive change in our country and around the world. San Francisco 49er will continue to work toward bringing community as those who serve them closer together.
You're not saying you might as well put your mission statement up there. What the fuck?
I also noticed all these things tend to lack the fact that it was racial injustice.
Because they don't want to touch it.
I don't even know if one of these has race in it or racial.
Mm-mm. Everything is around that. All these statements y'all see coming out is none of them bring up race. None of them bring up racism. None of them. Mm-mm.
I just did a scan for all the you can search articles, search pages on social media, on Firefox, and I just did a search for race and racial. Nothing.
Because they don't want
to. It's not going to come up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Everybody buys NFL tickets, dog.
Packers CEO Mark Murphy says, it's unfortunate that the president decided to use this immense platform to make divisive and offensive statements about our players and the NFL, and strongly believe that player, and by the way, this is one of the things that bothers me too. It's fucked up now because it's your players.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's about the white owners being like, don't come for what the fuck I do. I pick these niggers. They're good.
Right.
Don't dare insult them. But when it was just black people, which he's been doing the entire fucking time he's campaigned and even after he's been in office, when it's just Mexicans, when it's just Muslims, not like there's not Muslims on the field on an NFL team, right? Like Aqib Talib is not Muslim, right? Like when it's just people and they don't have NFL uniforms on, none of these owners gave a fuck. If anything, they gave $1 million to his campaign, to his inauguration. Like, I'm not platting these motherfuckers on the back for this shit. If it's still fuck Donald Trump, then it's fuck Donald Trump for everybody. We can't be like, sometimes it is and sometimes it ain't. Good for you for acknowledging that he said some fucked up shit last night. More like, where were you? You know what I mean? Like, this shit, and it's not even better late than never. They still not here. They still outside the party looking in like, oh man, I will now acknowledge that it is a problem. What you gonna do about it? Nah, I mean, I acknowledge that it exists. Well, what about the racial aspect of it? I mean, do we gotta talk about that? Well, let's just play football. Like, I don't know. And the thing for me is, I'm not as bothered by them not taking a stance as other people, because I literally don't expect shit from any of these rich white dudes. I don't expect anything from them. Like, I'm not gonna pat them on the back, but like, this is more of the nothing I expected. I'll pat them on the back when they do actually do something. When I see one of these motherfuckers come out and be like, well, we are looking into hiring Kaepernick or some shit like that, I'll be like, oh, okay, maybe your quarterback sucks and you finally can stop being racist, cool. But then the second part is, and we want to partner with him on some of his initiatives, something like that. You know, we want to match his donations. How about that? You can do that. He don't even got to be on your roster for you to be like, I'm gonna match his donations. He's giving $1 million away. I'm a fucking billionaire. I'm gonna match him and give $1 million as well to all the audience. Like, y'all just made that dude a pariah. And the thing is, you couldn't even stop what he was doing. Making him a pariah also kind of made the dude a martyr in a way. But more importantly, all them other niggas on the field agree with him for the most part. So you can't even stop it. Like, you think Michael Bennett not gonna come out and take a knee today? Michael Bennett might literally lay on the ground. He might come out and put the flag on the ground and put hashtag take the pee and piss on it. Like, I don't know. Like, you can't stop this anymore.
No,
like,
them niggas at work, so you have to behave in a certain manner. But yes, people still agree.
But, you know, I think these owners, just like they're socialized just as much. You know what I mean? Like, they're socialized to be conservative and you know, all that shit. You know, all these people that are mad at the players. Oh, you rich players out here making all this money. It's a privilege to make this money. Now, you know what a privilege is? Your dad giving you $1 million loan to start your life, Donald Trump. That's a privilege. You know, that's a privilege in America. A privilege isn't being the best at a sport that people want to watch. That's not a privilege. Like, that's a skill. There's a privilege. White people would be having it.
Come on.
If it was just a privilege, there's no privilege in America that white people don't have access to. Like, fuck out of here. Like, if people so mad about rich people having political opinions, why y'all never mad at the owners who support Donald Trump? They don't never tell Jerry Jones to stick to sports. Motherfucker gave $1 million to Donald Trump. Where's the stick to sports at? You know, y'all don't never tell Charles Barkley to stick to sports. Like, Charles Barkley come out and say all kinds of racist, stupid ass, uninformed bullshit, and people don't never be like, Charles Barkley, listen, stick to sports. If anything, they'll bring him up whenever somebody says, yeah, well, this is why I agree with Kaepernick. Well, Charles Barkley said, right? Now it's not stick to sports. You know, Jason Whitlock was an offensive lineman, I think, or something like that. Nobody said, just stick to sports, man. Look, let it, he go on TV to roast Kaepernick every day. Nobody's telling him to stick to sports. This is ridiculous, man. So yeah, I don't really, like, this has been a lot of hubbub this weekend, but it's been a much ado about nothing for the most part. The only people that really went in was the NFL, NBA players.
Yes.
Listen, why do I love the NBA?
Come on, dog.
That's why I love the NBA.
NBA, they was like, we are not here for, and it was almost one of those things where it was like, okay, we're going to let you do what we do. We don't like you. We let it known we don't like you. But what you ain't gonna do is come over here and fuck with us. Like, he bought players out. I was like, oh, okay, you too. Oh, shit, now. Because, you know, the thing is, you fucking, and the thing, I think the thing that really, quote unquote, made a lot of niggas mad is that you coming after the blacks, quote unquote, black sports, right?
He came out to black people. Here's the thing.
Yeah, the black
people.
He came out
to Jemele Hill.
Yeah.
You know, he wants Jemele Hill fired. You know, he wants Kaepernick and all these other guys fired. Like, there's some white girl at some pageant that said a bunch of shit about him too, and he ain't say not word to first.
No,
Jimmy Kimmel been roasting this motherfucker for months. He ain't said nothing about Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-mm. Like, I peeped the game. Like, you come after the black people because those are the people you feel the most offended by,
right? Almost
daring
by
to speak up against you, because they're the ones that you just feel like have no right, no place. There's no reason that they should even be able to talk to you that way. That's what that shit is.
Right. Cause you think you're a motherfucking king. We don't work like that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all that shit is. But yeah, the NBA players. Oh, God, I love the NBA. Like, Steph Curry said, he wasn't planning on going to the White House. The Warriors team, right after they won, said they weren't planning on going to the White House. By the way, they took a vote and said, nah. So Donald Trump disinvited them this week. Like, Steph Curry, you not invited no more. To which, I mean, how you gonna not invite me to something I wasn't coming to? Okay, I guess we'll both not see each other there. Like, what the fuck?
You just offended that they was like, we ain't coming.
Yeah, you know, and LeBron James called the president a bum on Twitter. Oh God, how can y'all not love the NBA more than the NFL? I don't know how you can't, man. It's so good, man. Yeah, he called that motherfucker a bum, dog. Kobe came in, said a POTUS whose name alone creates division and anger, whose words inspire dissension and hatred, can't possibly make America great again.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mamba.
Right.
Ah! Shout out to Balls Deep.
Right. So, yeah. He got mad because Roger Goodell put out a non-committal statement, and then told them to stand. Everybody's just looking at him like Calvin Candy and Django, like, okay, man, what are you mad about? Here's the thing I'll say too, though, and this should be a little, I actually, in a way, this is gonna sound weird, but it gives me comfort in a way. I like that the NFL and the teams, to a certain extent, are bigger than any protest, any boycott, any statement by anybody. Like, they honestly are a fucking amoral corporation. Like, it's crazy, but in a way, they are the most consistent of everybody. Like, they really just don't give a fuck. If a player come out there and take a knee or not, they don't care. They don't release statements. They don't tell the players to stand. They just like, look, man,
it affect the game, and we don't play care. Ball.
Like, we literally don't give a fuck about none of y'all lives. Mm-mm. Period. Nope. We're not a socialist, activist organization.
Right.
We are a business, and that's all. And it gives me a level of comfort to a certain extent.
Yeah, like most corporations.
I don't know how to explain. It's like they just not even faking the funk to try to pretend Mm-mm. that they give a fuck. Like, cause this is the part that people don't bring up, cause people are either on quote unquote one side or the other. But like the cops have boycotted NFL games.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL don't give a fuck.
Ain't nobody released no statement. They were like, okay, we'll hire private security and keep it pushing. Your ass ain't got to be here today. We'll be all right.
Cleveland police was like, fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. We won't even hold y'all flag. Fuck y'all players. And the Cleveland Browns, not a good team, was like, yeah, whatever, man. Like,
all right, we get some ROTC to bring it out there and we'll go ahead and pay security. We'll be all right.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's that thing where, I respect comedians who don't apologize for their jokes.
Yes.
I respect the fact that the NFL is like, yeah, we ain't shit. So I don't know.
I
be mad. I mean, yeah, we Cleveland Browns. We was going to sign Johnny Manziel who punched his girlfriend and started the next week for us. We just don't give a fuck. Like,
yep, we are consistently ain't shit. And they function just like most people's corporations. Most people's jobs are like this. Most people, if you work for any large corporation, unless they are a corporation that their whole foundation is a moral stance, don't give a fuck.
Oh, a black kid got shot by the police and cops? I mean, the game's at 1 on Sunday. See you there.
I'm trying to tell you, be there.
Oh, okay. A player took a knee to protest the fact that the Cleveland cops shot. Yeah, hey man, well he's starting next week. I mean, I don't know, like we don't talk about that. Like there's a certain level of consistency about their not giving a fuck that what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they don't give a fuck about the spectacle and shit, because we know they're a trash organization.
Come
so don't try to conflate this with me saying like, oh no, they just don't like they're a good organization. No, mm-hmm. I'm saying they are trash and they don't care.
Right.
Michael Sam can't get a job just because he was out. I'm like, oh yeah, this nigga's gay. Yep. Well, move him, slide him down the depth chart. Everybody, consistently, everybody, every NFL team decided to drop him several rounds. When you bring it up, they'd be like, yeah, man, we just, no statements released. No, we don't have anything to say. You know, just nothing. Nope. That was it. Nothing to see here. Like there's a certain level of I don't know, something in there. I don't even know what the right word is, but something in there where you're just like, y'all really just, it's impossible for y'all to give a fuck. I don't even know what would have to happen for y'all to literally pick a side, quote unquote. You know what I mean? I don't even know what would have to happen
Mm-mm.
for an NFL team to be like, maybe that's one of the reasons I just don't care about the boycott and all that type of not watching it. I just don't care because I'm like, what the fuck have they ever exhibited that made us feel like they are capable of caring about something?
Come on.
I mean, these motherfuckers have a breast cancer awareness month just so they can sell pink colored clothes.
Yep.
But if you wear any of that shit outside them 4 weeks, your ass get fined for the same, like, hey, I want to do breast cancer awareness in December. Bitch, that was November. $5,000. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even, like I said.
The bulk of the money don't even go to breast cancer, bitch.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what to.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Consistently don't care about women. Consistently don't care about children. Because, you know, players out here whooping the hell out of their children. You don't care. And I'm cool with you not caring. At least you're consistently not caring.
Right. So, I don't know. Anyway, all that to say, I'm not giving anybody props for any of this shit. Yeah. Ray Lewis took two knees today, and I'm just like, for what? The fact that Ray Lewis joined in should tell you that how fraudulent today's protests are gonna be, because you know he absolutely is on the side of what about black on black crime and why you being a distraction and Kaepernick can't get a job in the NFL and shouldn't have a job. He's just not good enough. He's absolutely on that side. He took two knees today out of some, president shouldn't be telling us what to do. This is about unity and solidarity between NFL players and the owners, not actually taking a knee for racial injustice or, over policing or police brutality. None of that's that. None of it's for that. So yeah, fuck everything today when it comes to these protests. Anyway, that was a long intro. Let's see what else is going on. Okay, let's do something funny. Parents are outraged after a teacher gave a homework assignment that had a lot of profanity in it. So yeah, they were pretty upset. Which, I mean, can I blame them? I don't think so. I feel like if I take my kid to school, it's a fair assumption for me to say, hey, don't put any cuss words in their homework assignment.
Ah!
I think.
Shit, that's the bare minimal.
It's like,
don't
maybe
cuss them out and don't put cuss words in their homework assignment. That's it. Can we at least meet that?
Maybe the teacher should be like, freedom of speech. Hey. Okay? The school should release a statement. We support the right of our teachers to make social statements using words with the freedom of speech, including cuss words. And he's a good player.
If they could, they would.
Right. All right, let me see if I can get this article to play. Is it shown in the chat yet?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. All right, it's loading up. But, yeah, as a Georgia middle school teacher.
In my elementary school, I didn't really hear a teacher. I said, oh.
Channel 2's Carl Willis live in DeKalb County talked to that child and her mother, who said that she just hacked, Carl.
Well, his mother was simply shocked. She says she doesn't allow that kind of language in her home and it has no place in a classroom.
The girl that wasn't doing her homework had to stay.
Lessons are important for the Wright family as they guide their youngest child through her transition into middle school. But Mother Krishana Wright says one assignment that came home had no place in the classroom.
It was really against everything that I try to teach them, you know.
She was stunned to read explicit lyrics on a worksheet that was handed out by a music teacher here at DeKalb County's Bethune Middle School. Expletives, violence, and sexually suggestive words from rapper Kodak Black, all there in black and white.
Oh, Lord.
I'm like reading all these words, and I immediately asked her, you know, like, well, why do you have this? And she said that it was an assignment.
I saw it, and I was like, my mom will be mad.
The exercise was for sixth graders to take the rap lyrics and come up with their own positive words.
I don't really see how you can make that positive, but to say don't do it.
Wright says she understands the purpose, but says this wasn't well thought out. We brought Wright's concerns to the school district, and in a statement, the superintendent wrote, quote, the assignment was inappropriate, unacceptable, and contrary to our standards. The employee responsible has been removed from the classroom and will be held accountable for such poor judgment.
I think we all kind of know when it may be a problem, and if that's the case, then don't take that chance. You're dealing with children's minds. You have to be very cautious.
Now, the superintendent added that they encourage teacher creativity, but expect the instruction to be standards-based and age-appropriate. Point 11 to Cap.
Standards-based. I like how they added that in. Like, and also, this shit was double-spaced. And we can't have that. Sending the wrong message to the kids. The song was Drowning by Kodak Black. Let's see. I mean, it can't be that bad. Maybe. Maybe we just hating.
Not that camera dude.
I'm drowning.
Okay.
I'm drowning.
Don't sound too bad.
I'm drowning.
Kids could do this.
Wrist so icy, wonder why she like me, bitch. I'm drowning.
Oh.
I just bought a Cuban, dipped it in a fountain. Then I go, it's a light show, I'm surrounded. Bust down, bitch, I'm drowning.
Oh.
I just bought a Cuban ring and dipped it in a fountain. Chain so heavy, I feel like I'm holding up a mountain. Everywhere that I go, it's a light show, I'm surrounded. Bust down, bitch, I'm drowning. I'm with all my niggas, I don't go nowhere without them. If they don't let us in, they might throw shots at the bouncer. Activist medicine, got it straight from out the doctors. I'm with RJ, but I call him Wayne, cause he's the shotter. Pick up the ladder, put it in the gun, make the nine stretch. Niggas with attitude, we come straight out of High Bridge. I'm gonna make her panties wet when she see the way y'all flex. I'm gonna win a Grammy, move my family out the projects. We went from chilling in the projects to making
I like
that song.
I don't think sixth graders are supposed to be using that as homework. I agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, like somebody said, they had to be a edited version. They just like, what's the real version of this?
I mean, I'm looking at it and I mean it has niggas on it, but then it's like niggas and then it white out the IGGAS is taken out, but I mean, come on. Well, I guess, I mean, that's a difficult assignment, I will say that much.
It's a difficult assignment for me to redo.
Yeah, I'm also not 100% sure that, because he said that it was, negative and to take it and replace it with positive lyrics. I don't know that I would say that those lyrics were negative necessarily. I mean, they were profane.
Right. That's completely different.
But, I mean, we should be careful about what we define as negative.
Correct.
A lot of positive messages in music that, you know, that people might say are negative. You know what I mean? He was talking about, you know, even when he's talking about drowning, it's because his wrist is so icy. You know, he bought a Cuban and dipped it in the fountain, you know. Everywhere I go, it's a light show. I'm surrounded. Bust down, bitch, I'm drowning. Like, is that negative? Is that a negative thing? I mean, you got a Cuban ring, dip it in a fountain, is negative? That's a nice thing to have. I'm with all my niggas. I don't go nowhere without them. Now, see, that's just about keeping your friends and family together. We all have friends. You know, if they don't let us in, they might throw shots at the bouncer. So, you know, that's giving an incentive to the bouncer to let him and his friends have fun at the party. We all been denied parties because of how we look and stuff. And that's not fair. So they making a positive statement against the policing of these spaces, you know. Activist medicine got it straight from out the doctors, so he's taking his medicine. I'm with RJ, but I call him Wayne because he's a shotter.
I
don't know, Wayne shotters, maybe that's somebody, I don't know. Pick up the ladder, put it in the gun, make the nine stretch. Okay, so yeah, apparently shotters is a movie. And in the movie, there's a character called Wayne.
Ah.
He was turning up Wayne. He was wild in there. He is in there making moves. I don't know. Pick up the ladder, put in a gun, make the nine stretch. That's the ladder is a long clip.
Okay, not the ladder to right. Be climbing up.
So he believes in the right to arm himself. He believes in the Second Amendment. Niggas with attitude, but we come straight out of High Bridge.
I'm assuming that's a location.
Straight out of Compton. He comes out of High Bridge.
Okay.
I'm going to make a penny wet when she see the way I flex. So he tries to keep himself in shape to make the women, you know, there's nothing wrong with women being, you know, very proactive in their sex life, wanting lusting after a man. I'm going to win a Grammy, move my family out the projects. Now, how is that negative? I guess I just don't understand. I went from chilling in the projects to making projects. See, that's a positive success story. We was trying to get to the top and they tried to stop us. We all have people that try to stop us from getting to the top. Y'all probably got a bitch at work y'all hate. Everybody got one. I talked to myself, bitch, I don't need no fucking voucher. She looked at my wrist and she looked at it $100,000 because that's how expensive his wrist. Jewelry is.
Yeah, so watch range, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why are we mad at this? Why are we calling it negative? Yeah, I'm more mad about him giving the homework assignment to kids and calling the song a negative song.
Correct. He got the right to make this song. I have no problem with him making this song. And I like the beat. Like somebody suggested something which I think makes sense. Maybe says, look, here is the beat. Make words, make your own rap to the beat or something like
yeah,
that.
Why not just do that?
Right, because the thing is, once you take the lyrics and I can say, what's good and what's not good, and just talking about like for this song, it's subjective. You know, it's some people they're not gonna have a problem with it at all, or some people who have children who feel a certain way. I don't have no children, so I don't have no moral standards.
And I only got two kids, so.
She, no, you don't.
I mean that I know of.
You ain't got no kids.
I said I take care of them. They make the nine flex stretch. All right, then. Mm-mm. Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott are expecting, sources say.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it made my noodle move.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner have been dating for a while, and I guess using no condoms because they watch Insecure.
Is this a rapper?
Travis Scott, yeah, he's a rapper.
Okay.
Pretty big name in the rap industry. But yeah, more importantly, he's a black. Because, you know.
Oh, I knew that.
The Kardashians have a type. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, they are expecting a kid.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah. Hopefully they have a very happy life together.
I hope they works do. Out. We will see.
The entire island of Puerto Rico may be without electricity for months.
I know.
Hurricane Maria tore through Puerto Rico, bisecting the entire island, bringing 150-mile power winds and torrential rains to some of its most populated areas.
Yeah, and one of my coworkers work out there, so people kind of been asking him, and he's saying as of right now, they're able to like text and things like that. But yeah, he was saying it's gonna be like weeks and months. He was kind of saying it before it came out, you know, because he has family and stuff down there. Something a lot of people, but like this, people in the United States take the shit we do here for granted, you know. So, well, put it like this, if Donald Trump has his way, who knows? But we have standard building code laws. Like, we have standard laws here. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't make this way, you can't use subpar products for this. We have certain building code standards when you build shit here. And if you go around that and you don't do it, you can literally get sued for not meeting whatever the code is. And in Puerto Rico, some particular areas, there were whole communities in Puerto Rico that was built without a standard, without a coding standard, because for a long time the area didn't have a code standard on how they made shit. So you have this area where a lot of these homes were made without coding standards, so who knows what the fuck it was made out of. And it mm-hmm. definitely wasn't made to stand up to 100 something mile an hour winds. And then the buildings that were made to, that were designed for 100 something mile an hour winds, wasn't made for the wind this high, you know. And so when you have all this, the infrastructure and just the way that the island and stuff is made up, this is the end result of this. And my heart goes out to people that have family and friends and loved ones in that area, because basically, you know, it may be a period of time where they might not be no communication at all, you know. And then they're evacuating a lot of these areas and trying to get people out of these areas and things like that. At least they're trying to do that. You know, in the United States, they ain't trying to do shit. They just let people just stay there and die. But at least they're like, hey, y'all, we're going to try to get the people we can out of these areas, you know. They had schools that tumbled with children inside, all kinds of stuff, you know, happened, you know, in that area. And it is a quote-unquote part of the United States, even though people don't want to claim it. It's not a quote-unquote state. It's one of them territorial type of things connected to the United States. One of the few places you can go outside of the United States and not a passport or any kind is not required. And so, yeah, my heart goes out to anybody, any loved ones, anyone that has anybody in that area.
Yeah, they might be without power for 4 to 6 months. The entire power grid was knocked offline during the storm. The New York Times reports it could be 4 to 6 months for power stored on the island. That's half a year relied on generators, half a year without air conditioning in the tropical climate, half a year where even the most basic tasks of modern life are made difficult. Even though 3 to 4 million people live there. 3.4 million people live there.
That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Cell phone service is out for almost the entire island and communications are generally strained. Thousands of people living in the mainland United States with relatives in Puerto Rico have yet to make contact. At least 6 people died during the storm. This number could rise due to the fact that news is moving slowly on the communications choked island. Meanwhile, a new crisis keeps forming and new crises keep forming in the wake of the storm. On Friday, the National Weather Service issued a dire warning about the Gaujataca Dam in the northwestern corner of Puerto Rico, which is reportedly to be near the breaking point. threatening downstream areas with deadly floods. 70,000 people, enough to fill a small city, have been asked to evacuate the areas that could be flooded by nearly 11 billion gallons of water that the dam holds back. Puerto Rican officials believe the dam's failure is imminent, and it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next few days, but it's very likely the dam will break soon. Shit. Yeah. It all comes down to money, and the government of Puerto Rico doesn't have it. The island, which is a U.S. territory, filed for bankruptcy-like protection earlier this summer and is in the process of restructuring its debt. Now the public utility company is in a severe state of financial distress. Unable to modernize its system and facing a shortage of highly skilled workers, even FEMA relief money from that Congress will likely authorize will be of limited help in such an environment.
Yeah, because somebody said that all the ownership, none of the rights. Yeah, I don't think they can vote in our elections and shit mm-hmm. like that. But you're a part of the United States. With what rights? you're not represented in the Congress. You're not represented in the Senate. At least I don't think they are. And it's one of the things where you go, well, wow. You know, that's literally part of us too. But we go, nah, you good. Because, you know, Donald Trump, they brown. So I could see Donald Trump going, don't send no money down now.
Yeah, that's wild.
Correct.
Speaking of disasters, it looks like T.I. and Tiny getting back together.
What?
Yeah, they called off the divorce and the singer moves back in with the rapper. Mm. Yep. So, you forgive them now, Karen? They've been together for years and they truly love each other. Both of them realize what they have isn't worth throwing away. And Silas tells us they don't want the public to know that they reconcile. Everyone was in the business, was in their business when they announced a split, so they're trying to keep the marriage more private. Here's my question. Is the show not coming back then, or is it coming back? So I was thinking like, oh, well, maybe they just did this for the show or something like that, but I don't know. Maybe they didn't.
This only time will tell, you know, and if that's her decision. that's her decision, because you know it's one of the things where, and this happened to women before, everything, a lot of shit about them is very public. So you know you're gonna deal with the public atmosphere and people publicly making got their view, because you know when people have to do things in private, and a lot of people have done this stuff, but it's not public. So you don't have millions and millions of fans on both sides, his fans and her fans. Calling her a hoe, you know, calling him names, you know. So now you got a lot of fans that's quote-unquote going to feel betrayed, even though we ain't got no shit, the goddamn thing to do with their marriage, you know. But they feel like they are emotionally invested because you brought this to them. So by their concern, what you do directly affects them also. At least they feel that way, even right. If it's a reality or not. Because these are two grown-ass people. They choose to get back together. That's their choice.
Yeah, it's just gonna be interesting where they go with this, because you make your business public when you have a show about your business. So it's like, in a way, you know, people pull to like, that's their business, kind of like, mind your business, got nothing to do with you, like, what the fuck. But then in the same breath, it's almost like, but they kind of making your business by being like, we're advertising specifically our marriage, our adorable kids, our family. Yeah,
which they have,
you know, brought all these people into it,
right?
You can't just turn around and be like, but nah, for real though, not really, we actually not like that no more, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just mind your business, stay out of our, you know, stay out of our shit.
And people don't function like that, because they were like, look, we've been here the whole ride, we gonna ride and die to the end, regardless of what side you on and who you been calling nigga this and bitch and hoe and slut this and,
right.
And you ain't shit this nigga, you know, cause I'm pretty sure, and particularly meanwhile on Instagram has been lit up for the past few years by anything that they post, so we will see.
All right, let's see what else is happening in the world. Let's get to some of our segments. Let me bring up the segment music real quick. But yeah, hopefully that means that they'll have big things popping over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt like when they were together, nobody had swagger like T.I. and Tiny. Just snap back together like a rubber band, man. All right, guys, that's enough of that.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Everybody's back, guys. You know how they do. Let's see who's fucking with us today. How about this one? Albert Hainsworth is an NFL player. A lot of NFL stuff this week. Is an NFL player who is very upset. He appears to be going through a rough time with his girlfriend. He is claiming that she was domestically violent to him. Mm. He's a big dude and everything. People were bringing up his size, like, you said you just big, and I'm like, well,
that's irrelevant.
I don't understand, like, what's, because if he would have hit her, then we would have been like, nigga, you this big and you hitting a white woman, of course you're going to jail.
Come on now, you can't have it both ways.
Right, so at any rate, he's going to have a hard time finding any sympathy from black women, though. Now that he's reportedly been domestically abused by his white ex-girlfriend, who also allegedly called him a nigger on several occasions. That's because 6 years ago, when Hainsworth was playing for Washington, he was accused of grabbing a black waitress's breast at a Washington, D.C. hotel. According to statements reportedly given to a detective who was investigating the case, Hainsworth supposedly said, I know what this is about. The waitress is just upset I have a white girlfriend. I couldn't tell you the last time I dated a black girl. So he tweeted that his ex-girlfriend, former Tennessee Lady Vol player Brittany Jackson, allegedly used to racially and physically abuse him. Hainsworth and Jackson have a son together named Aiden. Okay, this is one. How does this happen? How do you raise... How do you not only, first of all, you're dating a racist white woman, probably because you racist against yourself, and because honestly, if you one of these niggas that hate black women so much, and that's why you date outside of your race, if that's the reason, you are going to raise your kid with a fucked up mate, because a white woman that would accept that ain't shit either.
No, she ain't.
Like, a white woman that's okay with you hating yourself and hating black women and shit, and goes, ooh, that's what I want in a black man, she ain't shit. And then your kids, who are gonna be black, are gonna have to give with a fucking racist ass parent, if not two, right? But then the second part of this is, you have kids with this woman as well. Like, why would you bring children into this world knowing that you dealing with a racist? That's so weird. Anyway, in a series of tweets, he accused Jackson of calling him the N-word, talking about her extremely violent tendencies. He also claimed he had to call police several times to restrain her. Not only has she called me unthinkable names, she has been extremely violent, where more than 10 times in Tennessee and Florida, Albert called the police to restrain her. Yes, I have witnesses and bruises, but me, for some reason, still trying to protect her by not sending her to jail because I didn't want to ruin her so-called career and name, he tweeted. Here's how CBS Sports describes the relationship. According to Knoxville News Sentinel on January 10th, police were summoned to the home in Southeast Knox County. Allegedly, Jackson had kicked Hainsworth in the groin, but by the time the police had arrived, she was gone and Hainsworth didn't want to pursue charges. After a career that embodied the expression, the candle that burns twice as bright burns half as long, Hainsworth led a troubled post-NFL life. Arrested Virginia's charge of simple assault in a road rage incident. He later pleaded no contest to charges of sexual assault in Washington, D.C. That case never went to trial, so he might also be a rapist. Pleaded no contest. That doesn't sound too good. And he took part in programs and community service as part of that plea deal or whatever. Jackson, meanwhile, has pleaded guilty to assault in the past. Hainsworth also accused Jackson's charity work of being fraudulent. He claims that she requests checks be written out to her charity rather than Chattanooga Alzheimer's Foundation so that she could pocket the majority of the checks herself. Every year, Jackson hosts an All-Star Weekend. The validity of Hainsworth's allegations are unknown. He also put a message on Twitter Let me tell you the real truth about why I broke up with Brittany Jackson. I'm the person that had to deal with her, with the ugliness of her soul, for a very enduring 2+ year relationship, if you call it that. First and foremost, Aiden is the greatest thing to happen in the dreadful 2+ years. For one, Brittany Jackson has called me a nigger on numerous occasions because what she said, she wanted me to feel hurt, but I didn't show her affection in my In my opinion, that's crossing the line. Not only was I supposed to be in a relationship with her, but her own child is half black. Not only has she called me unthinkable names, she has been extremely violent, where more than 10 times in Tennessee and Florida, I called the police to restrain her, and he goes into that shit. And then he talks about a charity. He also had brought up, here it is. Let me get something straight. Everybody can understand. I love all women. All women matter. As long as you are a beautiful, real woman, trust me, I'm trying to smash. So to think I'm going to alienate 1/6 of the U.S. population, you are fucking wrong. My damn biggest problem is I love women. I pray one day one woman can settle me down, black, white, brown, or yellow. But until then, I'm like most guys in this world, just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Peace. So that should smooth everything over, right? Mm-mm. I mean, I'm assuming all the ladies now are swooning in the chat, I'm sure. Mm-mm. Let me look in the chat and see.
According to the poet Kodak Black, it doesn't make my panties wet.
Oh, okay. Let's see. And he is a misogynist. Cool. Okay, that doesn't look like, doesn't look like it's working. Okay, I thought maybe the ladies were in the chat like, oh, my hero, he will also allow me to have some penis now, and we are, what a good man, what a good person he must be to offer the penis to not just her and other racist people, but to offer the penis to me as well. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with niggas? Anyway, she released a statement. It is critically important that our child that Albert begins to focus on being a good and supportive father. This is a difficult time for me and our child. Shockingly enough, finding out I'm the mother of Albert's 7th child, I do not feel I need to stoop to make public his true conduct. As for domestic accusations, I cannot comment at this time due to current litigations, but the truth always surfaces. Accusations of me being racially biased are absurd. Come on, Albert, we lived together for over 2 years, have a beautiful biracial baby that I love more than anything in this world. I still didn't hear her. No, I never called you nigga, though. I kind of feel like I would need that to make me feel better. Anyway, Karen, 0 to 100.
100, because everybody in the story ain't shit.
Okay, Karen's going with 100. All right. I would give it 100, and I'm just going to say that's one of those situations where a bunch of things have to coexist at once. Mm-hmm. You can be domestically, you can experience domestic violence as a black man. That's it. Like, he can be a racist piece of shit that's racist towards black women, also, and a rapist, possibly. And also experience domestic violence from a racist white woman in his partnership, and have a biracial kid, and all that. It's just a bunch of ain't shitness combined at the same time. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's everybody over there seems like trash. So that's what I would add to it. All right, let's see what else we got here for the next story. But yeah, I remember covering that story when he was talking about I remember his defense being that, like, man, I would never talk to no black woman. But that's one of them niggas too that I feel like, that's CTE, bro. Like, they gonna look at his brain when he gone and be like, something was fucking wrong with him all this time. All hell breaks loose at a Michigan racism protest after a white man shouts, "Shut the fuck up, nigger." I gotta say, guys,
you don't say.
That is not the best tactic. You know, hate to judge. I mean, who are me to judge?
Who is me?
But gotta say, guys, not a solid tactic. Almost never works. They tell somebody shut the fuck up, nigga, and they actually go, you know what? You got a point. I'm gonna shut up. I almost always see that go the opposite way, where you tell someone shut the fuck up, nigga, and then they go, suck my dick, you know, whatever. Like, it normally does not go great. Anyway, good luck to him. A white man was arrested after a fight broke out during a protest at the University of Michigan where black students have been targeted by racist vandalism and social media posts. Three students said their dorm rooms were defaced over the weekend with racist graffiti. And some white students have circulated social media posts using racial slurs. The protesters met Tuesday evening with the university president. Hey, but look, the kids are the future. Okay? Y'all need to understand that the kids are the ones that are going to change the world. And they're gonna look out for all of us. And you know, it's just really up to the children. You know what I'm saying? Like, the young kids, they're the ones that really understand and know what's going on. So I feel like we don't give them enough props. I believe the children. Nobody? Mm-mm, just me? Mm-mm. Okay. All right. So the kids are not gonna save us. I mean, that's the thing. Someone today was telling me how it's the younger generation that's going to, of men that are going to stop misogyny and shit. I was like, who taught them? You mean my generation that's in denial about it? Or the generation before me that's still out here defending Bill Cosby?
Come on, dog.
I don't know what to tell y'all. I don't know if it's going to get better. Like, not without people reflecting and changing and thinking about what the fuck they are saying and putting out in the world instead of putting their feelings first and being like, but what about me? You know, like, maybe if people start doing that. But in general, I'm like, I don't have any reason to feel like, you know, oh, don't worry, guys, we gonna get it together, we all on the right path now. You know, like, I don't know where that even comes from in people to make them feel that way. But, you know, whatever, dog. Protests blocked the street in downtown Ann Arbor where they encountered at least one white man who disagreed with their demonstration. He appeared in one video posted on Facebook arguing with a protest before shouting down a black demonstrator. Shut the fuck up, nigga. I'm not talking to you, the man said, and the crowd breaks into shouts. A fight broke out. The police on the scene arrested the white man whose name has not been released. The university police spokeswoman said the 24-year-old man was not affiliated with the university, was arrested for disorderly conduct, and no arrests were made. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up, nigga. Oh, is this on my
God. Oh no! You better get the fuck back.
Hold on, let me see if I get it to read.
Hey, turn around. Hey, don't turn around.
We just need to keep it.
No, please shut the fuck up, nigga. Hey. I'm not talking
about. Oh no!
You roboting, baby.
Oh, I'm roboting? Yeah. Okay, let me refresh, guys. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Did you check your amoral corporation for 1 o'clock?
I checked everything. You talking about my fantasy football and stuff? Yeah, I already did all that. I'm sorry, did we need to stop? Did
mm-hmm. you okay. I'm good. I did too, so I was just checking.
Yeah, I knew this show would probably go past the mark for 1 o'clock, so I just was like, let me go ahead and
hey, I got mine together, so
do my shit now. Not surprised. Not surprising the motherfucking least bit, dog. Like, you deserve that ass whooping too. Don't feel bad about that either. Mm-mm. Like, take that L, take it with you. Enjoy yourself, treat yourself to that L that you about to experience. Cause
online is one thing. A lot of people really, really bold online with their comments when it comes to shit like this. You know, some shit they would never say to people in real life. And I think, who was it? Chris Paul was somebody was like, yeah, call one of us a son of a bitch to our face and let's see how that runs.
Right. It's real easy to talk that shit, you know, on your little racist ass message board or whatever the fuck. Like,
but when you have to, particularly with athletes, like, I don't care how big or how tall or how small or what you think about a professional athlete. If they are a motherfucking professional, this ain't no semi-pro. Right. No, they have made it to the point where people say you are a professional at whatever the fuck you do.
Mm-hmm.
They put their hands on you. They gonna hurt you because their body is a goddamn machine. They will fuck you up.
Right. So, yep, not surprising the least bit. And sound like some people deserve to have their ass whooped. So, come on. I don't know. Am I supposed to feel bad for you?
Yeah, and that's not including the people that's like semi-pro and all that stuff too. They'll fuck you up too, don't get me wrong, because they, you know, a lot of them been doing that shit for a long ass time, so they have skills. But for the fact that you made it to a professional level and you acknowledge at that level, that speaks volume.
Right.
And for you to say, call people niggers and put your hands on people and shit, and they, you know, it's real cool when you looking at them on TV and they look 4'10" and you way back at a 200-300 level and they look 3'4".
Right.
But when a almost 7-foot tall person, this 1-2% body fat, stand up and look you in your eye, actually looking down on the average person,
or
that's
a group,
a whole other story.
And it's a group of black people.
Come on.
I don't know. He must have felt real emboldened that night. And he ended up getting arrested. Zero for me.
Oh, zero too. And It's, you know what? And it's some average people, like, I don't mean average, I mean like normal people who just know how to whip ass. And you don't never know who these people are. And some people, looks can be deceiving, particularly people that are not professional, like semi-pro and kind of lower level. Them people will fuck you up and you won't even know what hit you, because they just look like they might have a little better fat. You know, they might quote unquote, might not be shaped like athlete. But they put them hands on you, they fuck you up.
Yeah, I mean, but that goes both ways, right?
Correct.
There's a lot of racist people that maybe you think they can whoop their ass just because they racist, and they might fuck you up. I'm not saying who wins the fight necessarily matters. I just know if you talk to a group of people.
A group.
You probably getting your ass whooped, and I ain't going to feel bad for you, and the cops should take you to jail. Like, what you did should be illegal, dog.
Because you provoked it. Everybody was cool until you said that. And you said that knowing that you was going to get a reaction.
Like, throwing a racial slur at a group of black people protesting racism. Yeah, you should take that ass up. And freedom of speech, that. So, yeah, I feel zero fuck with.
Same thing.
With racially charged issues such as police brutality and the recent Charlottesville white supremacy rally constantly in the headlines, seen where the point in history full of teachable moments for students. One South Carolina teacher took quite the controversial route when it came to bringing conversations about race into the classroom. Carrie Roberts gave Oak Point Elementary School students a homework assignment with two questions that left many upset. You are a member of the KKK. Why do you think your treatment of African Americans is justified? You are a freed man. Are you satisfied with your new life? Why or why not? As a result of the assignment, Roberts has been suspended from her Irmo, South Carolina school. According to the Newsweek, Tremaine Cooper, the uncle of a 10-year-old black boy in Roberts' class, claimed that Simon left his nephew in tears. Cooper broke it down on Facebook, asking everyone to imagine how they would feel if a similar Holocaust theme assignment was distributed to the students.
Come on.
Imagine a German teacher with the audacity to send a 10-year-old Jewish boy home with a homework assignment that would even remotely suggest justifying Nazi actions towards Jewish people. Yeah, the question literally said, why do you think your treatment of African Americans is justified? Like, it literally did ask you to step into the Klan's point of view and say, as a black person or whoever's answering this question, here's why I think as a Klan member it's okay. What am I supposed to write? What answer do you think you're gonna get? It's 2017. This is not how we're gonna teach. Is this how we're gonna teach?
That Texas Taylor, yes.
I mean, she got suspended, so is this how we gonna teach? Like, what made, like, every other teacher understood. How's this happen? Every other teacher got, you probably don't want to say, hey, looking at it from the Klan's point of view. Let's get... yeah. According to Star Class, Oak Point is made up of 67% white students, only 19% black students. Oak Point is a predominantly white school with mostly white faculty and staff. Maybe this will lead to more black inclusion. Cooper also wrote via Facebook, it's only right. Following Cooper's complaints, Roberts was placed on administrative leave. We must teach the standard, but we are taking steps to ensure this particular assignment will never be used again in District 5 schools. The school district said in a statement, Oak Point's principal and superintendent of school District 5 have both issued apologies to Roberts and his family. Cooper also confirmed that Roberts directly apologized to his family, noting this type of thing will never happen again. 100.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can't even be kids, man. Can't even go to school and learn. You couldn't just be like, you know what, fuck it. It seems so simple to me. Maybe I'm tripping. racists target an Asian American family for supporting Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Oh, we almost had the break. Let me go to the next session real quick, guys. Hold on. Hold on. Coming right back.
Because the thing is, when people say Black Lives Matter, they literally mean all. When people say Black Lives Matter, they go black people, brown people, everybody's lives. But if put like this, for once black people lives matter, all the other brown people lives matter, and we will be equal. And it's one of those things where that's hard to get people to understand, and it's some of the division, because you have some Asian people who don't understand that concept either, and will actually get mad at us when we're like, hey, we're talking about y'all too. Like, y'all, you know, y'all included in the Black Lives Matter movement, right? We fighting on y'all behalf too.
Yeah, I mean, and some families do recognize it. In this case, this
yes
business owner recognizes it. I mean, there's
this small black life.
Sorry, there's a symbiosis between the Asian American community and the black community, and so in many cases where, you know, and sometimes with resentment and sometimes not. I mean, we talked about the hair salon thing in Charlotte, in our city, where they slammed a black woman on the ground, accused her of stealing and shit, and like physically assaulted her. So yeah, man, they, you know, those are situations where we see like the adversarial nature that can happen from this. You know, a lot of black people have experienced racism at the hands of Asian Americans as well, like, you know, and Asian and immigrants as well, that come in and they're like, hey, I'm gonna set up a store in your neighborhood, but I'm gonna follow you around it. I'm gonna set up a store in your neighborhood. I'm gonna be very rude to you and very mean to you and accuse you of stealing and shit like that, you know, lock you in here and shit like that. So we've seen the good and the bad, but when you have a store like this where they like, yeah, Black Lives Matter, and they see that connection, cause that's what I think we need more of.
Right.
You know, when that Asian officer shot a black person in New York and the Asian community literally marched for his access to white privilege, essentially to say, mm-hmm, he's an officer, why are y'all letting him be prosecuted and not have a rigorous defense that y'all would give a white officer? That's not what we need. That's the opposite of what we need. So you have a family that actually is going, hey, Black Lives Matter, let's put a sign in the window.
This matter sign has been in the window of this home near San Francisco's Twin Peaks since 2015. But police say it has recently sparked a hate crime, as someone wrote the homeowners two letters.
We received an anonymous letter through the mail that said, Blue Lives Matter, take your sign down, or we will, in capital letters.
That was in July, and Debbie Lee and her family chose not to take the sign down and went about their daily lives. But 1 month later, another letter.
Which says, take your sign down now. Chink Lives Matter. And chink is a derogatory term for Asian Americans, Chinese Americans specifically.
The family contacted police and even the FBI. The person who wrote the letter has not been found. Debbie's daughter says there's no way this sign is coming down now. In fact, the two passed out new signs at a community meeting Monday.
I think I definitely felt like, if anything, we have to keep the sign up, because then that would mean that these people are getting exactly what they want. I would say the first thought was definitely to try and get more signs up in the neighborhood.
Debbie says it's important not to be silenced.
We don't believe that one should threaten one another, that they should have conversations with other people. You know, I think it was really sad that they felt like they needed to say this, and especially if they live in our neighborhood.
All right, Karen.
Oh, I'm fucked with the action against them, but I'm not fucked with them, because this sounds like a group of people that was like, hey, dog, we've been doing this since 2005. We were doing this before Trump got elected. Like, we have been about it. Like, people's lives matter to us. You know, because when you say Black Lives Matter, there are a lot of other lives that are connected to that black. Like, there's a whole collection of people. And like you say, if more people from more diverse groups started, and even white people started putting up these signs and be like, hey dog, what you not gonna do is bully us, what you not gonna do is silence us, what you not gonna do is make us quiet, because when you say blue lives matter, the connection to that is white lives matter for most people. Like, when you say that, that's what you're telling me, you know. And I know officers are known from all races, but that's literally what you're telling me. When you say blue lives matter, you miss the point of Black Lives Matter, in my opinion.
Did they say blue lives matter?
Yes, she was saying that the person wrote them back, said something about blue lives matter.
I thought they said chinks lives matter.
Oh yeah, chinks lives matter. Yeah, chinks lives
matter. See, now to me, that I don't know what was that meant, because if you're trying to say Asian lives matter, you wouldn't use a derogatory term like chinks. Oh yeah. So yes, I don't know who the fuck was this person that sent this. Like, what did they even want? I mean, I guess they wanted the sign down, but like, what the fuck did they think the reaction was gonna be? You're insulting me as you're telling me to take it down. You know what I mean?
They didn't say blue. I thought they said blue lives matter.
Was that in the first one?
In the first letter, they said blue lives matter.
Okay, the first one. Okay.
Yeah, because I thought I heard blue lives matter in that. And so when you're saying that, you're already making it. So if you have a problem with blacks, you have a problem with them also. And then you went a step further by calling them a slur. So that goes to show you that what they're doing is irritating you, because not only are you not like the blacks, you don't like them either.
Yeah, like how is that supposed to put me on your side?
Come on.
Hey, I noticed you said Black Lives Matter. Also, you're a chink. Well, the sign's staying up, and this makes no sense. Like, get your racism straight. Like, if anything, I'm more conflicted about them not being able to keep their racism straight than anything else. I mean, like, whose side are you on? I mean. Like, I don't understand. Anyway, but yeah, 100 to the people that wrote the thing, but 0 to them. I didn't feel bothered by them. Mm-mm. Unless we find out they faked it.
Mm-mm. And I applaud them.
Yeah,
I don't think they did. I really think somebody wrote them did.
Yeah, I'm saying that's the only way I could see myself being like, you know, mad later.
Yeah, the sign up there been since 2005. They ain't gonna take it down. They probably got some new
2015.
They probably got some new neighbors. It was like, ooh, y'all didn't tell me this when I moved to the neighborhood. I was gonna looking at this that day.
Yeah, I guess it makes me wonder if it's an Asian person wrote it, or
it's a possibility,
or not, because it's such a weird, you know, I don't know. Such a weird. Anyway,
white supremacy go across the board. So who knows?
Have you seen this viral video from What Now about the Black Lives Matter quote unquote protest at the mother of all protests?
What's the mother of all protests?
So, okay, there was supposedly, it reeks of setup. There was three different protests in DC like last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown DC and the National Mall, pretty active. It was an anti-white supremacy rally hosted by folks who walked all the way from Charlottesville. There was a Juggalo march and then a mother of all rallies pro-Trump event at the National Mall.
All these
different ones.
What happened at the same time?
Right.
Okay.
So at the mother of all rallies event, there was a Black Lives Matter group of Greater New York. Which, you know, already, you know, Black Lives Matter has this nebulous kind of organization they try to pull off. I don't know that they, have necessarily, it's been experimental, it's been revolutionary, it's been different. I don't know that it necessarily has worked in some instances, because for a while it was like this leaderless thing, and it was like, well, this way you can't tear the movement down because you don't know who the leaders are. Like, we see ourselves as a bunch of leaders in the movement, and not just one type of person or one person. And to a certain extent, it's like, okay, cool, that makes your movement less attached to just one person, and therefore people can't just take it apart so easily. That's the hope anyway, right? Because in the past it's always been like, well, if you discredit this person, then you discredit this movement, right? That, at least that's how people treat it. I don't even necessarily know that's true, because I feel like the overall theme is, if you stand up for Black lives, you are going to be discredited.
Yes, you are.
It doesn't matter if it's true or not. Like, the truth literally has no bearing on it. So, and I would even say, like, Black Lives Matter to a certain level had to capitulate to the fact that that wasn't going to work, because you did have to have three founders come out, say their names, come to these events, accept awards, do interviews, stuff like that. Like, you have to start writing things, like, because if you want to control your narrative and your message, you actually can't just sit back and let everyone speak for you, because some people are going to step up and they're going to speak and they're going to get the spotlight, and you're going to be in the background like, but we don't want anyone to say anything. And then sometimes people are going to say something you don't agree with in your name. And then, not to mention, the media is so lazy, they're complicit in this.
Yes, they are.
They call anybody black talking about anything racial that's pro-black, Black Lives Matter.
Even if they're not associated, and we'll tell you, I'm not associated, but they'll go, fuck it, Black Lives Matter. I said in an article, I didn't have nothing to do with it. They're like, you black and you speaking.
Yeah, you don't even have to be an activist. Like, that, at least, that, you know, my experience, I got called Black Lives Matter when Bernie So Black was trending.
Yes, you did.
And I was like, I got called an activist. I'm neither of those things. Now, I'm not against any of that, but I'm not, like, I've never done any protests, anything in the streets, none of that shit. I'm definitely not a member of the organization of Black Lives Matter. I haven't joined anything. It's an official organization. They got chapters, people join it. They just don't necessarily have leadership positions that they publicize like that, or they didn't. I don't know if they do now.
Right.
I haven't kept up. But the point being, because of that, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often, or I'm surprised I haven't heard about it more often. You have chapters of places that call themselves Black Lives Matter that aren't affiliated with the organization of Black Lives Matter, and they do protest actions, quote unquote, on their own, the way that they want to do it. And in this case, this video goes viral. It's these Black Lives Matter activists were invited on stage at a pro-Trump rally, and every American needs to hear what they said. Now, you guys know, you probably have seen this video go around a lot. You probably seen people talk about it or tweet it. It's the Kerry Washington retweeted it. It's the kind of thing that makes people feel good, but nothing will happen, nothing was said. And it's a kind of a doctored video, so I'll show some of it in the chat. And there's titles underneath: what happens when the Black Lives Matter show up at a Trump pro-Trump rally. That was a white dude yelling at them to get out. Now, keep in mind, they're going in a Trump space, you know, by themselves, in a red, black and green, like Malcolm X hats, and red, black and green Black Lives Matter hats, and all this shit. Which is funny, because when you see a lot of Black Lives Matter protests, you don't really see people with Black Lives Matter gear on normally. But I don't know if that's a choice or not. I don't know. But they immediately struck out to me. So there's a dude you can hear in the background on stage telling them, don't give them the spotlight, get back over here, don't give them attention. They got black power fists in the air, all that shit.
They don't exist. Don't give them the spotlight. Walk away.
Go back.
Back in stage.
This is America. If they don't like that, that's their problem.
Let them come on up. Let them come on stage with the black man. I don't let Black Lives Matter come up here.
So then one of the people at the rally gets on stage and says to let the Black Lives Matter people come up there and talk.
And this is not the first man who sounded like he was getting highly irritated, and his right. voice went up a few octaves.
Right. Now, I don't know that this guy is saying, anyway, he says, let them come up here while I show them what patriotism is all about, all right?
I show them what patriotism is about.
It's about freedom of speech. It's about celebration. So what we are going to do is something you're not used to, and we're going to give you 2 minutes of our platform to put your message out.
I'm putting it like this. Well, I'll wait till the finish. Go ahead.
Okay. But I do notice that this is almost like sarcastic taunting right now. This isn't them.
Yeah.
being like, because we want to have this dialogue, they're literally just being like, because you niggers never would, so look what we're doing, we're so great, we letting you on stage for 2 minutes.
Mm-mm. In my opinion, it feels staged, because mm-hmm. like most people have this stuff, you have your itinerary schedule, and you be like, y'all ain't coming on stage, we didn't prepare this for you, we're not letting you on, we have x amount of time for this space. To me, it feels like somebody already organized this, was like, but when they come in at this time, we'll do this. At this time, we'll do this. You're giving them approximately 2 minutes, which means you have prepared, in my opinion, you have prepared for them to speak. Mm. They didn't just randomly show up at your event.
Mm. Now, whether they disagree or agree with your message is irrelevant. It's the fact that you have the right to have the message.
I am. And then Hawk Newsom, who is the president of Black Lives Matter, they put New York, but I think it was greater New York, points at the dude when he says, you had a right to have your message. Like, he points at him like, yeah, that's right, that's what I'm talking about. So they give him the mic and the stage.
I'm an American. And the beauty of America is that when you see something broke in your country, you can mobilize to fix it. So you ask why there's a Black Lives Matter? Because you can watch a black man die and be choked to death on television and nothing happened. We need to address that.
Shut up. That was a criminal. They booing him.
We are not anti-cop. We are anti-bad cop. We say if a cop is bad, he needs to get fired, like a bad plumber, like a bad lawyer, like a bad fucking politician. We don't want handouts. We don't want anything that's yours. We want our God-given right to freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh,
I want to leave you with this, and I'm gone. You're right, my brother.
Oh,
you're right. You are so right. All lives matter, right? But when a black life is lost, we get no justice. That's why we say Black Lives Matter. That's why we say Black Lives Matter.
What about black on black crime? You don't care then?
If we really want to make America great, we do it together.
And then the black power fist.
All right.
And they shake hands.
USA! 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 USA!
It kind of restored my faith in some of those people, because when I spoke truths, they agreed. I feel like we made progress. I feel like two sides that never listened to each other actually made progress today. Did I expect to go on that stage? No. I expected to come down here, stand here with my fist in the air in a very militant way, and to exchange insults, maybe some dirty looks, or who knows what. If not on a grander level, but just person to person, you know? I think we really made some substantial steps without either side yielding.
Yeah.
I hope that they understand that.
I guess this is my issue. I don't understand the idea of calling something progress when you say neither side yielded anything. Like, I don't understand what the progress that is made. I'm not even sure what these people are supposed to do. Like, these people at these rallies, you know what I mean? Like, none of them were convinced, like, oh, you know what? Black Lives Matter. I get it now. Like, they're actively booing you. Any message that you actually have about racism, they're booing. People are yelling at you, what about black on black crime and all the other shit that you hear people say? I don't see it as progress. You know what I mean? I'm not sure this is staged or not. The reason I don't necessarily think it's stages, it doesn't seem like the people are going along with it. Like, it didn't seem like then the white people was like, and you know what, we didn't get it, because that would have felt staged to me. Like, it feels kind of real where they clap for I'm an American. Yeah. And I'm a black American. Oh, boo. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you stage that part of it too? I'm not saying it's not staged though, but I'm just saying it does, for my personal feelings, that part doesn't feel staged. Like the audience, if they wasn't in on it, if that's, I don't think they were. Yeah, like if this was a setup, the audience wasn't in on this shit. But this is like, those videos of cops that play basketball with kids after a black kid gets shot by a cop. They always put those videos out because it makes people feel better. But I'm like, nothing happened. You know, like, do I feel like a cop is now less likely to shoot a black kid because I saw him play basketball with him? Do I feel like a black kid is less likely to get shot by a cop? What am I supposed to feel here? You know what I mean? Okay, you have a good cop that's community policing and really in the lives of these kids and like Cleveland and shit. Good for him. But is he like testifying against his cop buddies when they plant evidence? Is he willing to report when he sees a cop have excessive use of force on a kid? Those are the things that matter to me. You know what I mean? I'm glad you went and played basketball. I'm glad you brought the kid something to eat. But I you know, it's that kind of thing for me. Like, I'm looking at this video, I'm like, I didn't see people walk away and go, okay, you know what? I'm ready to listen to Black Lives Matter now.
One of the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement is a proud American and a Christian who cares deeply about this country, who cares deeply about the people in it, whether they are documented or not. I want them to understand that we are educated, right? That we apply a strategy, but we come from a place of love, right? And we really are here to help this country move toward a better place, not to destroy it. A man who controls a 4,000 member militia shook my hand and said, I always knew I identified with you, today solidified it. Wow. One of the heads of Bikers for Trump came up and shook my hand, asked me to take a picture with his son. A little blonde head kid named Jacob, like, that's special. Like, here I went from being their enemy to someone they wanted to take pictures with their children, and that's the power of communication. We came out, we were gonna chant, we were gonna do a demonstration, but we didn't have to. We just spoke. And it worked. I'm happy about that.
That feels a lot like you just turned into their black friend whenever they do something racist later.
Where's the paid advertisement, or this is sponsored by such and such, brought to you by such and such? I don't care what you say, unless I'm proved otherwise, this shit was fucking staged.
Yeah,
you cannot prove to me otherwise that the audience itself was not in on it. You could tell that the audience was a true, in my opinion, a true audience reaction. Mm-hmm. They came for their rally. They didn't know these niggas was gonna show up, and they looking like, what the fuck are y'all doing here? And if you want to give me a real video, where's the video of them calling them niggers while they was up the stage? I guarantee you somebody said nigger. Somebody used some other racial slurs other than what you were saying. For some reason, those got edited out your video all of a sudden. And then you can't tell me that people who were protesting you a few seconds ago because you gave a speech would turn around and not to say they wouldn't take pictures with you, but y'all ain't gonna be best friends. And like you said, nothing has changed here. And the thing about it too is something that really made me think, for those people on social media, oh, people kill me with this, particularly when people talk about the harassment on social media, that whole, all those people sound is the Twitter section all at once. Like when people complain about they're being harassed on social media by racist people, that's all those people at once. That all those people is people's mention at once. People saying black lives don't matter. What about like that people is like the Twitter section all at one time going at one person, quote unquote. In my opinion, it's staged. You can't tell me anything different unless somebody has some proof otherwise. I don't believe it. Not this organization probably doesn't exist. I'm not doubting their work or anything, but this right here, it's staged. Like I'm not buying it. I think the audience wasn't in on it. I do believe that the audience was not in on it, at all. I think they came for one thing and it ended up getting some Black Lives Matters. That's just how I feel about it. It's staged. And it makes white folks temporarily feel good. And it makes the niggas that don't want to deal with racism temporarily feel good. Oh, we got along. Oh, they took a he held their baby. Oh. But the second somebody else dies, it's going to be fucking crickets. The second, you know, something happens to somebody else, there's no change that's going to happen from this. What needs to change is laws. What needs to change is hearts. You doing this right here is very irritating to me, because there are people out there protesting, there are people out there disrupting, there are people out there taking the stage like unplanned and fucking up their schedule and shit like that. There are people out there doing this. You're gonna do this bullshit right here to make people temporarily feel good.
So I went and found this article on the Medium from Aaron Huertas, who was there. And he talks about the actual video because he was at the rally. What the viral now this video about Black Lives Matter, the Trump rally, actually looked like on the ground. And he talks about, of course, those three rallies. He wound up going to all the events, helping out with the first rally, listening to Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope address the Juggalos, and stopping by the mall on my way home to see the sparsely attended Trump rally. I was hanging out there for just a few minutes when a group of Black Lives Matter of Greater New York approached the rally. They were eventually invited up to the stage, and their president, Hawk Newsom, addressed the crowd for 2 minutes. CNN presented it as a moment of unity, and a Now This News video showcasing as a rare instance of dialogue between opposing camps is at 20,000 plus retweets and counting. I wish I could feel that way about this incident, but as always, activism and reality are more complicated than the narratives we see online. So here's what it looked like from my perspective. And to be clear, I do not pretend to speak for anyone involved, especially Black Lives Matter, Greater New York activists. This is simply what I saw and experienced, and I guess I feel prepared to share it since it feels a bit discordant with the media description of the events and the way in which people are sharing the Now This video. I'm sure others who were there also have different impressions, of course. So this is what the rally looked like on the way in. As many others have noted, it was sparsely attended, so there wasn't even a lot of people there. The mother of all rallies, with probably less than maybe 100 people there, 150. As Black Lives Matter Greater New York group approached, several Trump supporters started heckling them. Two black Trump supporters approached the group and started saying they were black and happy with Trump. Ergo, Black Lives Matter's existence is somehow now invalid. A Black Lives Matter member said they should be ashamed of their support for Trump. Well, you know, their togetherness. From the stage, organizers started urging people to ignore the Black Lives Matter group, but that wasn't happening since this was clearly the most exciting thing to happen at an otherwise pretty boring rally. Park police and the 3% of militia members lined up between Trump supporters and the Black Lives Matter group, facing the Trump supporters. I lined my bike up between the park police and the Black Lives Matter group, also facing the Trump supporters. There's no correct way to be at a rally or protest. This felt like the right thing to do in the moment, since one, white allies standing with black activists generally makes it less likely the violence will break out, and two, also because it's clear that Black Lives Matter's goals and values aren't just shared by black people. The Trump supporters were jockeying for pictures and videos and occasionally yelling things like, "This is our rally." The Black Lives Matter group stood with their fists raised. One Trump supporter repeatedly yelled at the Black Lives Matter group, "Segregation is over." Didn't make the video.
Mm-mm.
I joked with one of the Black Lives Matter members that we'd be sure to let everyone know, and we shook our heads at her in a bit of disbelief. There were also competing chants of All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter. After a few, they didn't even have that in there.
Mm-mm.
After a few minutes, a group of what I assumed to be rally organizers approached the Black Lives Matter group and invited them on stage to speak. After a little deliberation, the Black Lives Matter group accepted and moved to the stage along with some of the media members and park police. After they got on stage, a rally organizer indicated they actually wouldn't be allowed to speak, and then the organizer started blasting the national anthem, I'm guessing to cover up the noise of the ensuing onstage dispute. After a few moments, Hawk Newsom, the group's president, was allowed to speak. Once again, this is why I don't think the shit was staged, because them motherfuckers didn't want them on that stage. They cut it out the video staged to make it look like it was as smooth as, like, you know what, we're gonna let them speak. I want to hear, they're Americans. Like, no, that's not what happened. What happened was motherfuckers like, no, the fuck, no, I think not. We heard the one dude on there being like, don't pay attention to them. It's our rally. They going to go away. Don't say shit. Like, and that club person's an organizer too.
That's like, true.
To me, I don't even know whether or not these motherfuckers talked in the background. Maybe he talked to one person or something. Everybody wasn't in on it. The problem to me is, this want to feel happy ass bullshit where we cut the video to make it seem like this is a good moment by cutting all the bad moments out, but that's not reality. So since my mind rejects it immediately, because I'm like, that's impossible, that's not what happened. And it's sad because this shit gets all these retweets by people being like, what a great moment. This is what it's about, right?
And I think that's the part that makes me angry, because you took it and you chopped it like it was a feel good moment, and it's not. Nothing's going to change from this.
Right.
Other than you feel better, because that's why I got all the retweets.
Right. But there's more. So he was allowed to speak. Trump supporters clapped at the parts they liked, grumbled at the parts they didn't like. For instance, when Newsom said that all lives do matter, they cheered. When he said that not all lives are actually treated like they matter, they were a little muddled in their response. After Newsom was done, a black Trump supporter told the crowd that Black Lives Matter doesn't do any work to prevent violence in Chicago, which is, of course, wrong and silly. But it's the kind of lie people who support Trump have to tell themselves. It's simply easier.
Wasn't in the video.
Wasn't in the video. But you did see that guy on the stage at the end. He had a red shirt that had hashtag Patriot on it, and he was filming the crowd, not himself or the people on stage. Mm-hmm. He was black, but he wasn't with them. Mm-mm. He was with the Trump people. Mm-hmm. Cut it out the video for some reason.
And he was the black person that spoke before they went on stage, even if that.
Oh, he was?
Yes, you didn't hear him talking about bring him on stage. I'm a black man. Like, I'm pretty sure that was that same dude.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that. I didn't notice it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So then, of course, they claim some type of hypocrisy is in. I still don't understand what that point is. I don't understand what people think they're making when they make that point. And I've seen black people make that point, and I still don't understand what they're saying. There can't be racial justice until there's no black on black crime. Like, I just don't understand.
It's dumb.
Why can't we work on two things at once? Not to mention, the only people that care about black on black crime are always black people in black organizations. Why don't you join an organization and see for yourself? It's all black churches and black nonprofits working, doing marches, right, and vigils and education and shit. It's only black people. Like, there's no white organization that even cares about that shit. They only bring it up to say, this is why we shouldn't do anything about cops killing black people. That makes no sense to me. And if you make that correlation, something is fucked up in you. You know? Like white on white crime is like fucking 8% lower than black on black crime, and yet somehow black on black crime is an epidemic and white on white crime is not. I don't even understand the fucking difference. Anyway, it's harder to deal with actual policies that hurt or harm people, such as redlining, environmental injustice, racist sentencing laws, and multi-state efforts aimed at making it harder for black people to vote, which Reverend Dr. Barbara North Carolina NAACP is likened to the third reconstruction. Yeah, and that's before we get to the idea that Trump wants to pass national stop and frisk. For their part, the Trump rally organizers seem to relish having invited the Black Lives Matter group on stage, treating it as evidence for why their own views should be treated respectfully, and as a contrast to the intolerant cartoon version of the left they promote. The three percenters form two lines leading away from the stage. I don't know. Three percenters seem to be white people that are in that militia.
Hey, yep.
I don't think, because there ain't no 5%ers in this video. Mm-mm. It's 3%ers. Which is funny, right? Black people got the 5%ers. White people got the 3%ers. I wonder if the 3%ers are just as woke. Do they sell incense? Here's some Make America Great Again incense, brother. Like, is that what they think?
Who knows?
My brother, listen. do you know the so-called black man is just the opposite of a 5%er?
Yes. My Caucasian queen.
We descended from an ancient Nordic royalty, brother. You don't understand?
Yeah, give it sons of anarchy hooks.
we came down from the Caucasus Mountains, okay? The original white man, all right? When I look at my old earth, they use the same number. 7 is a number of completion, brother. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. You see? Will you eat that pork? Mm-mm. No, we don't eat that. That ain't... Sorry. I'm just trying to imagine a white person. That is a dog, a rat, and a hog, okay? We don't eat that. You put that in your mouth? Uh-uh. No, that's the devil's meat, boy. No, we eat nothing but straight up cheese. The way that God intended.
We don't wear dashikis, we wear cloths.
Back in Sweden, in ancient Sweden, the motherland. Okay, back in the motherland, all we do is eat cheese. What kind of cheese do they have there? Swiss cheese, the original white man cheese, boy.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. Man, listen, don't listen to these black devils. The black devil was created by an ancient white man scientist. Only people that know about these 5%ers get these jokes.
Bro. Right?
They are good. They are
real good.
we the original Jews, okay? See, the original Jews didn't come from the Middle East. They came out of the Caucasus Mountains.
Yeah.
And they stole from us, the black man. That's why they want you believing that Jesus was black. No, Jesus was a white man.
He didn't have no wool hair.
Mm-mm. He didn't have hair of wool. He had hair of silk, okay? And skin of bronze, but that's because he was tanning. It's a lot of sun down there. He didn't have sunscreen, but he was just, he peeled for 3 days, came out of the mountains white, a pure white man. Anyway. The Honorable Prophet Jebediah says all right, I have to stop.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I wonder if they have, like, you know, that,
yeah, the Prophet Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, Prophet, like, the 5% is always making some acronym for some shit. Like Allah, like arm, leg, arm, head. That's you know, like, I wonder if they have it too. It was like Jesus. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know what the J would stand for. Jelly. anyway, Europe. That's what the E stand for.
Oh, Lord.
S is for, stop and frisk. The U.S. at the end is for United States. Jelly, Europe, stop and frisk, United States. That's what I'm saying. To the sixth power, brother.
Are you with me?
Don't dine on the swine, okay? They actually probably do eat pork. They just don't eat chicken or something, like some lie.
I don't eat watermelon.
Yeah, because you know the 5%ers definitely be eating that pork. I'll be seeing them in the line at Hardee's. I'm like, oh, nigga, that's a sausage biscuit. Anyway, make sure you still buy some of my American Eagle incense. It's only $1.
Yes, American Eagle.
Smells like freedom.
Yeah, be sure you buy some of my Make America Great Again candles.
Trying to separate the white family, you know, trying to get the white man out the house with all this government assistance. All right, so for their part, Trump rally organizers seem to relish in it, blah, blah, blah. The 3% is sworn two lines, leading away from the stage. For Black Lives Matter group to walk between and get back to the north side of the mall, the Black Lives Matter folks did some interviews behind the stage and then walked over to a few tables and chairs in one of the cafes at the mall. Newsom received treatment for an injury to his hand. I'm not sure what the origin of the injury was. Trump supporter came up, started talking about how his daughter has been suffering from some sort of disease, indicating that was just as important as Black Lives. The Black Lives Matter folks talked to him for a few rounds, but it became apparent the guy was a little disturbed and fixated on his daughter's medical care and wasn't really processing what anyone was saying to him.
No shit.
One of the other Trump rally goers ushered him away. Why wasn't this in the video?
Because that matters. Like for me, my first response was looking at this video. I was like, oh yeah, this video right here is chopped and screwed and staged. Like, this video looked like some niggas showed up and y'all was like, come on the stage.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't doubt that, you know, I don't know. I didn't doubt that this happened. I really didn't even think that it was staged. I just thought the video was doctored, and you could tell because even in the doctored video you heard people saying fucked up shit, and I was like, well, I haven't seen all this other video of Trump rallies and how they treat Black Lives Matter. I know this isn't how this happened. That's all I know, you know what I'm saying? Because you'll never see a group of Trump supporters that aren't racist, that aren't going to call people lanes and shit like that, and running up on them talking about my daughter's disability or disease that she's suffering with or whatever. That's more important than Black Lives Matter. Man, fuck you. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, being black isn't a fucking disability or disease, dog. Like, I'm like, and we can care about your daughter's sickness and care about my life. You don't get to pick one. That's not how the shit works. Later I checked the Twitter feed. I'm sorry. I asked the Black Lives Matter member why they came to DC. She said they had been in Richmond earlier that day and wanted to be at this rally. She said they were unaware of other activities in town that day, including the anti-white supremacy rally. So they didn't go to the other rally, I guess. Later I checked the Twitter feed for our local Black Lives Matter chapter in DC region and saw they were having some back and forth with Black Lives Matter Greater New York group. According to our local Black Lives Matter chapter, Black Lives Matter Greater New York is not part of the official Black Lives Matter network.
Okay.
And they appear to be critical of the lack of coordination with local groups. For what it's worth, Greater New York side of the conversation is now deleted. The thing about that I find interesting, this motherfucker went out there trying to present, trying to represent Black Lives Matter with these logos, these colors, these things. Part of that is, like I said, I think kind of a, I don't know if you call it an oversight or just some shit that was just gonna have to be bound to happen. But part of it is because Black Lives Matter was sort of, like I said, nebulous when it showed up because they wanted to have
almost like a mass.
Yeah, well, nebulous is in, like, it wasn't fully formed. It wasn't very strict. It was kind of like, you can pop up a chapter, talk about the things that you care about in your local. Like, no one's going to be able to destroy our organization because our organization isn't necessarily the most organized on the surface. You can't just say, well, if we kill this person, then the organization goes away. You can't say if we discredit this person as a criminal, then the organization goes away, because we're not just standing behind one person. We don't have a leader. We have a organization full of people that lead in local chapters and all that shit. And what do you do when someone goes, I'm gonna start a chapter, I ain't joining shit, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do, I'm gonna wear your shirts, I'm gonna go to these places, I'm gonna be like, Black Lives Matter actions that I've seen, at least of late, do not seem to be this fashion of, let's go into a white space where we are basically in danger, putting ourselves in danger, to try to convince white people that we can have some level of unity. Those aren't the actions that I've been seeing. You know, I don't know if they I don't know that they ever really had actions like that. Normally it was a protest to be like, we know we're gonna get kicked out this event, but we're going up there to show them, you know, to that we are not cool with this shit, right? It was, we gonna get kicked out of this rally, but that's fine, that's the goal, right? They're normally led by women of color, normally led by LGBTQ folks. This is not that, you know, or I don't know what his sexuality is, but you know, you have a black dude at the head, which is kind of different. There were allegations that dude is kind of shady. There might be like some people that are threatening, like, or accusing him of things and shit. I don't know the specifics of it, and I don't really get down in the network to know like that, but that's just what I saw on Twitter. People being like, well, this motherfucker's like an abuser and he out here doing this. And I'm like, this is part of the, like, when you don't have a structure and people don't know, cause it's not like the media goes and checks out, like this guy did, he writes for the Medium. And this may be his personal blog, but CNN didn't do shit. Now this ain't do shit. They ain't go, let's vet this guy. Is he who he says he is? Is he, you know, whatever. And now he's getting all the credit from him. If you put his name in the Google, you don't usually hear this word at a rally. Black Lives Matter DC condemns fake Black Lives Matter group to share stage with Trump supporters. Oh, wait. Actually, you know what? That's actually pretty good. That's number two. But yeah, you know, they got his Facebook page. I ain't voting. His Twitter account and shit like that, like, yeah, but hey, you know what? Shout out to the Daily Wire. They got number two on the search results. That's pretty good. This is an important point, since movements simply aren't monolithic, but in a lot of reporting, you'll see the actions and statements of a single Black Lives Matter group chapter as a stand-in for the whole. So overall, this didn't really feel like unity or dialogue to me, and the warm feelings I think people are getting from the Now This video were unjustified. But what I saw on the ground, we want to believe so desperately that Trump supporters will be open to persuasion and reason or even ethical and emotional arguments, but the overwhelming majority are just not. So that said, maybe I'm wrong. I always got my opinions, but I'm not here to judge anyone else's activism. Like I said to one of the Black Lives Matter members, they made the best out of a very fraught and difficult situation, especially after they were initially misled about speaking. If they're brave enough to stand on the stage full of Trump supporters and walk through a line of militia members, we can all be brave enough to make our own contribution to fight systemic racism and making this world a better place. So, yep. And yeah, Black Lives Matter DC condemns fake Black Lives Matter group that shared a stage with Trump supporters. Black Lives Matter activists that have shared the stage with Donald Trump supporters at the Mother of All rallies on Saturday are a fake imitation that does not share our principles, politics, or values, according to the movement's official chapter in Washington, D.C. That might explain why media attendees and political observers seem so surprised by the constructive dialogue and aura of patriotism that ensued. Outcomes, uncharacteristic of typical Black Lives Matter disruptions. By the end of the event, news cameras had captured images of Trump fans and their children posing for pictures alongside activists for an organization called Black Lives Matter of Greater New York. That scenario has created confusion for those unable to differentiate between the Black Lives Matter knockoff groups and Black Lives Matter chapters.
Yeah, because like I said, that's another reason why I was like, this is fake, because a lot of times they not up for them pictures and like that ain't what they do. They like, right. Hey, we gonna disrupt and then we out.
Right, we gonna take pictures of white kids afterwards.
Right.
Nevertheless, Black Lives Matter DC spurned Newsom's collaboration, labeling it pro-fascism rally and Trump cheerleading. The official branch apparently took offense to another group speaking in the name of Black Lives Matter on their home turf. Pro-fascism rally and Trump cheerleading are not valid. Come to our city to do it. Absolutely not valid. Hand clap emojis. I feel like two sides that never listen to each other actually made progress today, Newsom said in that video. Founded in 2016, Black Lives Matter New York presence sometimes even confuses like-minded progressive groups within the tri-state area. Just last weekend, the Queens branch of the Democratic Socialists of America mixed up Black Lives Matter New York with the city's less visible chapter, Black Lives Matter NYC. The difference between Black Lives Matter Greater New York and Black Lives Matter NYC is that we actually do work and we're always on the front line, said Nepal Kaizulu. Zolo, who leads Black Lives Matter New York's youth coalition, told the Daily Wire, "We are all working towards black liberation and liberation for people of color, but we go about it in different progressive ways. I don't think we're in competition with the national group of Black Lives Matter NYC," said Kenneth Shelton, who is Black Lives Matter New York Queens director. There's no rivalry, especially when it comes to organizing black people. I welcome all people to get out here and do the work. Since its creation, Black Lives Matter New York has frequently organized protests and demonstrations throughout the five boroughs. Its membership roster includes pop star Nick Cannon. Ooh, that's how you know it's fraud. Similar to official Black Lives Matter chapters, many of its activists are police and prison abolitionists seeking to dismantle institutions they believe were built on the concept of white supremacy. However, there are fundamental differences between the group Newsom heads and the chapters certified and the network certified 38 chapters. For example, Black Lives Matter New York is led by a man, while three women co-founded the Black Lives Matter conglomerate. Its platform does not emphasize gay and transgender people, which have always been a focal point of the original Black Lives Matter, of the original movement.
Yeah, and it's almost like churches, how they was like, hey, we with you, but we ain't with supporting the LGBTQ shit, and then they break off, but we still want your name. They're like, you can't do that, like, because we talk about everybody, so we're out here for trans issues, we out here for, you know, women's rights, we out here for a lot of shit that y'all don't even glance at.
Yeah, this is also why you don't put, it's why people say they don't trust black men to be in charge of shit. Like, so now that I'm in charge, we don't emphasize on the gay shit, we don't emphasize, like, how you gonna do that? That's the foundation. Don't call your shit something else then. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of names out there.
And they purposely do that for the confusion, too.
Right. That's my guess. It sounds opportunistic. Sounds like vulturing. Anyway, Black Lives Matter implements the red, black, and green colors of the Black Liberation flag into its logo, while sanctioned Black Lives Matter chapters tend to use black and yellow. Also, Newsom's group often takes its organizing efforts outside of New York City, actions that triggered the disparaging comments from Black Lives Matter DC. Black Lives Matter New York was part of a contingent of approximately 25 activists that traveled to Charlottesville, Virginia last month to confront an assembly of white supremacists. They were there when an alleged neo-Nazi drove his car to a crowd of counter of protesters, killing Heather Heyer and Heyer and injuring several others. Days later, Black Lives Matter New York joined thousands of protesters outside Trump Tower in condemning the president's reaction to the tragedy. Newsom's group might not be a bona fide Black Lives Matter, but it could continue to shape the public perception of the Black Lives Matter global network as its chapters shift strategies away from traditional street protests, all the while infuriating authentic branches like Black Lives Matter DC. It hurt me that they denounced us like that, like we're not really for the movement, like we're traitors, Kazulu said, who joined Newsom on stage during the Saturday rally. They are dismissing all the work we've done. We put our lives on the line. I was almost killed in Charlottesville. We don't support Trump, Kazulu assisted, period.
Yeah, I didn't think they supported Trump. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Black Lives Matter DC did say they were Trump cheerleading or some shit. Look, man, activism, of course, is ugly and messy when we know so much now through
social media
like that we used to never be privy to,
right?
But even back in the day, niggas ain't get along.
No, they didn't. You know, I just think different strategies.
Yeah, I just think it was different because it wasn't like Malcolm X was marching and saying I'm representing SNCC. It wasn't like Martin Luther King was marching and with a Nation of Islam shirt on. You know, like, it sounds kind of, I just don't know how that can't be fucked up if you're not officially part of that org and you're not, but you're going to take the name and use it.
And then get offended when they be like, you're not a part of our organization. I'm offended, but you're not a part of our organization. How have you offended?
Yeah, I don't know if they can sue or what the deal is with all that shit. I have no idea, but I mean, I can definitely see why that shit would be confusing, you know, especially when you have chapters of Black Lives Matter in local areas and then you have them because they were Black Lives Matter New York. Oh, well, they must be official,
right?
That, like, when I hear it, I'm, oh, okay, clearly they're official. I see the video, I'm like, these motherfuckers don't look official. And then you hear the backstory and you're like, oh, they shark their shit and they're also being used by PR to represent Black people, and that is not how Black people feel.
No, and it caused a lot of strife and a lot of division, and it caused a lot of confusion, and it caused a lot of anger and bitterness, and it caused a lot of conflict among the group, because DC is like, hey, we were here, dog. Like, if it would have been something, we would have been there. Why are you kind of quote unquote traveling outside of your boundaries to come all the way here?
Right. So, yeah, man, I don't know, man.
I do take my statement about it being staged. Mm-hmm. I take that back, because my thing was like, looking at going based off what they had that video, like, oh yeah, this is some bullshit and this is staged. Okay, it was not staged, but I do have a problem with and maybe this is just me personally, because just from what I've seen from Black Lives Matter, they're not about the end part with the pictures and all that stuff. That's what made me go, oh, okay, there has to be something different here about this group.
Well, and for the record, it could be staged. Like, I'm not saying, and by staged, I don't mean completely, but maybe this dude had some sort of conversation with the people behind, like, one of the organizers, and said, we're gonna come through, help us get on stage, and we're gonna, you know, show a unity or something. I don't know. But yeah, to me, it didn't appear to be staged. It just appeared they took all the conflict out of the video so they could pat each other on the back and be like, what a great moment. And I'm just like, you went up there and got played like a motherfucking sucker, dog. Them people don't believe anything you said. Mm-mm. They don't agree with you. It's easy to take a fucking picture, but is it easy to change your mind and your heart? Like, is it easy to then turn around and be like, I'm not gonna support Trump's racist policies against Black people? You know? And then, especially when you, like, I don't know this group's inner workings, but if their emphasis on LGBTQ folks is not that strong, then especially when you take that off the table, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially when you take that off the table, like, it's easy to agree. Because there's a whole lot of people that support Trump that's, like, extremely bigoted towards that shit as well.
Right, and it becomes a problem. And also for the fact that you did the video afterwards talking about, you know, didn't we have a conversation? And for a lot of Black people, they like, you go out to this rally and you talk about we had a conversation. Nigga, there was no conversation. Why are you out here perpetrating, like, we support Trump. And that's why people said that comment about Trump, because they were like, this ain't how this shit works. Right. We are 100% anti him.
Yeah.
So don't go out here talking about, didn't we have a conversation? Bitch, no, you didn't.
Oh, the video is definitely Trump supporting.
Right.
Because it turns Trump supporters into like, oh, no, they're not intolerant. They're just very, you know, they're just very passionate about freedom of speech and the right to speak, and they want to have a dialogue. It's like, no, you took everything that showed that they weren't out of the video. So now the video makes it seem like, what a welcoming difference. What a difference. You know, like, this would never happen at a Black Lives Matter rally. Like, the whole thing was sarcastic. The whole thing was patronizing. And then, doctor, you took out everything that really happened and went with, see, what a great experience. Like, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, I would never do this, but I could literally try to recut 60s footage of the people with water hose and just try to make it like, oh yeah, see, they're playing with the dogs. See, they just cut it, you know, add some music underneath it, you know, do a couple interviews.
When real people out here dying, come on, dog.
Right. You just cut to Martin Luther King giving a speech, and they thirsty. Give them some water. Shoot them with the water hose. Oh yes. And now this, you never believe what happened at this march in Selma. You know, like, fuck you, man.
Right, and there may be something more, kind of, people going to investigate this. There may be something more that comes out and proves that this whole thing was staged, because that was my initial response because of the way this video was presented. And it's one of those things where if too many white folks is liking and approving their feet, there's no guilt there. There's no anger there. There's no bitterness there. You've made them feel good.
Yeah, man. This is another one of those incidents where I'm just like, why is this our contribution as a Black man? Why is this your contribution to this movement, to just erase Black women, LGBTQ folks, and then to go over there shaking hands, taking pictures with white people, and then be like, today a lot of progress was made? Like, that, you know. And I think it's our shared privilege, in like the fact that we have male privilege kind of is this bridge in a lot of cases, and it's one of the reasons that we make some of the shakiest leaders in movements and shit, because sometimes we're not truly convicted. Like, we just want to share in the privilege, and once I can be marked off of the list of enemies, then it's like, well, fuck the rest of these people.
Yeah, and women, and particularly Black women, that leads a lot of face in the forefront. A lot of Black women, we don't have the luxury, like, we have to be convicted in right. our views. Like, we don't have the option of we are never opted in. We're always opted out. And so since we're always opted out, we always are fighting to be opted in. As far as,
it just depends on the struggle, though, right? Because
right.
like, we've seen Black women, straight Black women, flip on like the trans shit, where it's like, oh, we bringing up trans issues, let me go full homophobe, full transphobe real quick.
And that's the problem.
You know what I mean? Like, it just, privilege is just that way. That's how I view it. It's like, depending on what lens you look through, it's always going to be some area where folks decide, like, I'm not doing that. Cause my goal isn't to be like, these people are just better than these other people. Like, I think that's what people hear a lot of times, but it depends on what I'm talking about. You know, cause there's areas where, you know, being an American,
yes,
we have a certain level of privilege that other countries don't necessarily have access to, and we can be some garbage motherfuckers at times. It just depends on what the topic is.
Yeah, we can be trash, because you know, when I say Black Lives Matter, I really mean like everywhere, but for some people, they only mean American lives. And that,
well, you know what, we, I don't think, what does that look like, every Black Life Matter? We don't even really know what that looks like.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that means to have to bomb somebody. Like, President Obama has had to decide where the fuck a drone strike was gonna be. And I don't know the consequences of what that means to do that, or what it means to not do that. To be right. honest, it's easy for me to sit behind my computer, cause I'm privileged enough to be able to just go, shaking my head, what a terrible thing. I don't know any of the ins and outs of that shit. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem like a person that's not thoughtful or whatever, but he still arrived at a conclusion because of the office of the president. You're going to have to take some people's lives, and some of the people are going to be brown and Black.
Yes, they are.
So what does that mean to say all Black lives matter? And then for me to also be like, I think President Obama is the greatest president we ever had, and even he at some point made a decision to kill some Black people somewhere that I'll never meet.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? It just, I just think everybody has different privileges, and at different points we got, like, we're gonna fall short. But what I do know is this shit is a refrain that we've seen often, which is a straight black dude coming in and kind of making it about him to the point of erasing other folks. Like, you know, that privilege is real too. You know, the fact that the new media went out there, took pictures, interviewed him, put his name up in things, they let him speak on stage. Like,
if it had been a woman, I'm not trying to find out, they should have never been on stage, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe they would have, maybe they wouldn't. I know with Marissa and them at Bernie's thing, they let, quote unquote, let, but you know, they got to speak, quote unquote, and then immediately booed and kicked off stage and kept away from the mic. Anyway, the point being, I just don't think, shit, actually we saw them doctor that video.
Yes, we did.
So actually, yeah, they would have just probably done the same shit to a black woman anyway. But point being, here's my thing though. My question is, what would it take for that dude to be like, well, I'm not gonna one who should speak, I'm gonna let this sister speak. You know what I'm saying? What would it take? Because that's the hard part of all this shit. Someone was getting mad about that straight black men shit on my timeline the other day, and he said it dismissively, like, well, listen, I'm a good black man, I just take care of my family, my kids, my wife, and go to work. And I said, okay, first of all, that's like literally the lowest fucking bar for being a good person,
right?
That possible. Those are all things you should do. I'm not giving anybody credit for doing some shit you should do.
Come on.
Sorry, but you're not a fucking superhero because you take care of the woman you married and the kids y'all that came out of her. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Because I definitely don't do that for anybody else. It's not like I'll be like, you know what? That's a good white man. Listen, Tom Brady might say make America great again. He takes care of his kids. He's married to his baby mama. Like, nigga, get the fuck out. Anyway, sorry. The point being though, in that same discussion, he was like, well, what should I do then? Damn, what can I do? And so I made a thread like, here's some easy ways to support people. You know, like, let's talk about supporting black women, LGBTQ voices. Like, do you absorb their media? Do you listen? Cause that's number one. Like, if you're not even listening, then you really, how many motherfuckers got mad at the title of that article and didn't read it? You part of the problem. You're not a good person. Like, you didn't even fucking read it. You don't even care. You saw a title and got mad. It's just like when white people get mad at the title of, like, you know, racist white people said so-and-so. Fuck this. I'm not reading it. Why everything gotta be a white person's fault? You know, it's like, y'all, that's the same reaction, right, from that privilege. So automatically you're not doing good right there. But, you know, other things I was talking about was like sharing people's work, compensating people for their work. You know, appreciating folks. If you have a platform, putting their voices out there, you know, helping them kind of spread the word about their shit. If you have the means to give, giving. If you have the means to, if you have a platform or something that you can hire people, hiring. And then I say the other thing is not trying to take the spotlight for their work. You know what I mean? Like, not just giving credit where it's due, but like, in this case, here's a stage. We're giving you 2 minutes to speak. Do I speak? Should a black woman speak on this? Should an LGBTQ person speak on this? What is the best, like, who's the best person to speak on that? You know, what, like, maybe they don't want to speak. I understand. Like, then, yeah, take the stage or whatever. But like, you know, we'll see all the time on social media, like, so-and-so's invited to talk, and it's like, but you're asking this man to talk about the plight of black women. Why wouldn't you just invite a black woman on your show to do that?
Because they don't want to deal with us.
You know what I'm saying? Like what is that? You know, and why did you accept that? You know what kept Jemele Hill on the air? Three other black people that work for ESPN saying, fuck no, I'm not taking her spot. So what y'all gonna do? Because it's not, y'all just gonna have to do the six with two white people, and everybody gonna know y'all cowards. You know, you won't even be able to cover it up. So that's the thing that it requires. But how many people really got it in them to be like, you know, I'm not gonna take the extra check, I'm not gonna take the extra credit, maybe the boss is gonna be mad at me, but I'm not taking Jemele's place, can't do it. So y'all either do the show with her or don't do it at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot to ask of people, but you asked what you can do to help. That's the kind of shit to help people. you know, like, so yeah, it's that kind of shit that I look, you know, there's opportunities I've had where I've been like, no, nah, I'm not the best person for that. Well, can you suggest some people? Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of times they don't even ask.
Yeah, when I got interviewed with Bernie So Black, every single fucking interview, well, these are the women that were on stage. Have you reached out to Tia Oso? She's on Twitter. This is her Twitter account. You know what I mean? Like, let's reach out to some people that actually was there. Like, I understand you're interviewing me about the hashtag. I started, got it. I'm not knocking that. I'm not trying to be like, I shouldn't talk about this. But when I'm sitting up here telling you it's a joke that got out of control, but here's some people that actually know some inside shit that can give you like the story on why, what it's like to deal with this guy, crickets. Not one article mentioned that I brought that up. Not one article reached out to these people. No quotes from them in it. Like, you know, people calling me Black Lives Matter, calling me an activist. In the article where they interviewed me, where I clearly in the interview said I'm not either one of those things.
I could hear you talking to all of them, and you specifically said I'm not an activist.
Right. So it's kind of weird to see this shit happen. But there's a lot of people that jump into, like, so it's already fucked up, is what I'm saying. Even if you don't want this, it's fucked up. There are men out there, there are people out there that want to take credit for other folks' work that will do something like this. So that's kind of the part that kind of hurts me as a person that's like, you know, as a Black man who's out here like, yo, we can be better people. We don't have to try to upstage folks. It kind of hurt me to see a dude be like, and I'm upstaging everybody. Blah, the hell, look. Oh, yeah, look, Black, Red, and Green, baby, for Africa. Oh, we don't talk about that gay shit. No, there's a different type of Black Lives Matter. Are we official? I mean, we official like a whistle, baby, just not with the organization. Just don't look them up. If you see us arguing on Twitter with them, just ignore it, and we're going to delete everything. Like, it's just that kind of thing where it's like, why would you even, you did it in a fraudulent way, so then when this beat pops off, you're going to play the victim, but nigga, y'all did it in a fraudulent way, you know, because now you're on Twitter talking about, I ain't no coon, why y'all saying that? I don't support Trump. Look at how you went about shit. Call your shit Lives Matter Black and then just fucking go out there and do whatever the fuck you want to do. That's your shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and my thing, particularly with the person you're talking about on Twitter,
yeah,
my problem is that it always began with, well, what should I do? Almost like you're putting the ultimatum on the person questioning you to give you directions.
Well, you know the worst part? It doesn't start with that. It actually starts with, I ain't doing shit. What? Somebody today hit me up. So you want me to get killed in the street for stepping to somebody trying to trying to help Black women? I didn't say that.
Right.
I wasn't talking about murder. I was talking about shit like using your online platform. Stop going on Twitter and just trying to find Black women to be angry at and mocking them, and start reading some of these pieces rather than start getting mad about the fact that it's about a Black person or it's about a Black man. Instead of getting mad, read the shit. Cause you know what? Because in Portland, when them two white men stepped up for those Black girls, and that one of them was Muslim, and got stabbed to death, I saw so many Black men being like, good, that's what we need people like that. Those people were brave, those people are heroes, you know. This is what white people need to do. Like, this is not our problem to stop. Like, I'm glad they were there. But then when I bring up something like this, they immediately jump to like, you trying to get me killed, walking up to angry to Black men street harassing women and getting killed. You don't read these articles? Do you also read the articles about the Black women being killed?
Oh, those don't count though.
You don't read those articles? Like, you don't read these, like, fuck the articles even. I wasn't even talking about that. Mm-mm. I was literally saying, I had a whole thread of just ways you can help people. What, this, it didn't even have to leave your house. Literally. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to leave your
you
house.
Can donate without leaving your house. You can spread the word without leaving your house. You can listen to a podcast without leaving your house. I'm not out here advocating some crazy ass militia of Black men going around shooting the quote unquote bad ones. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even advocating that.
But that's what they hear.
But you know what? But it's what white people hear when we say white people can be better with their racism. Maybe check your uncle at Thanksgiving. And they turn it into, you want me to die? Is that what's going to take? I have to die before you'll be happy. It's like, no one said that.
No one said you had to go to the stream, baby.
Why did you jump to that? I gotta kill a police officer. No one said that. So that's the things I think about, man, when I see these defensive responses. I'm like, you sound like white people. And if that makes you mad, stop sounding like a white person. How about that? then you won't be so mad. But yeah, this dude's whack for this shit. I don't know. 100. Sorry, mm-hmm. that was a long ass story, but 100. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other part too that Think Pretty Smart got to it, but I did want to bring up, whenever I hear a person say, a black person say, why you think all black men are bad? And I'm like, I don't. I didn't say that. But we do need to check the black ones. The next thing they jump, the bad black dudes, the next thing they jump to is always, well, then I'm going to get killed. And then I'm like, so why are you saying I'm the one that thinks all black men are bad? You the one talking about these niggas going to kill you for saying something.
Well, then there's a problem.
Like, how are you, like, so now it sounds like you're more afraid than I am.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about, dog? Like, I'm the one that's vilifying us. You're the one talking about, I got to die. I didn't say anything about walking up to somebody and getting killed. I didn't say anything about being violent towards anybody, any of that shit.
But you do recognize it's a problem.
Right. When your homeboys are defending Bill Cosby, say something. He gonna kill you now? And you know you got some homeboys that do that shit. Every black man got some homeboys that did that shit. You know, niggas that still defending Nate Parker. Like, every black man got a homeboy that do that shit. Like, this ain't some, you know, drop squad shit. This is just some, like, you can't even say nothing. Because if not, then shut the fuck up when you talk about these white people going to Thanksgiving with their racist family. Don't say shit. Just don't say shit. Because you never say shit when it's you in a position to say something. So don't put the onus on nobody but yourself. Just be happy going to work, taking care of your family, and not doing shit. Just be happy with that. And then when people say you don't do shit, just think to yourself, well, I actually don't, so I shouldn't even get mad.
And you know what? And people will leave you the fuck alone. But because you come out the woodworks, that's what make people fucking livid. Because they go, why are you saying shit now?
Right. We always trying to console somebody's hurt feelings while other people dying. Like, we always doing that. And I mean, we as in people with privilege. Because I see white people do that shit too. Oh, don't feel like you're a bad white person just because these black people are complaining about racism. Yeah, like that. Like, it's they trying to make us feel bad just for being white. Don't listen to them. I'm like, so I guess nothing's supposed to change. Because every time you move down another step, everybody's on that same shit. You know, then you get down to the black people, then it's, yeah, look, we shouldn't feel bad just for being a black man. They just want you to feel bad. We got enough problems. You know, you move up to white folks. We got enough problems as white people. I mean, damn, I'm supposed to feel bad as a white person? I mean, I'm not rich. You know, these politicians, the ones you should have a problem with, you move up the next level. I'm a white man. They want me to feel bad because I'm a white man? Why should I feel anything? Y'all just want me to feel bad. I didn't do anything. I go to work, take care of my family. Everybody got a reason not to do shit. So fuck everybody. Anyway, let's play some Guess the Race, okay? That's the only way to even this out with some racism.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Now it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And contrary to the popular opinion, they're all racist. Mm-hmm. Yep. That segment before, all bullshit now.
Come on.
Teen allegedly... Oh, wait. What happened to his picture? Hold on. Let me go make sure I got his picture before we do this. Okay, cool. A teen allegedly killed his mother for not letting him keep a puppy.
White.
Dog Lives Matter. A Michigan teen is accused of fatally shooting his mother in the head after she told him he couldn't keep a puppy. Andrew David Wilson, 19, called 911 early Friday morning to say he returned home to find his mother dead in the bedroom. Authorities found 51-year-old Lisa Marie Wilson with a single gunshot to the back of the head. Investigators determined Wilson and his mother were the only people in the home Thursday night, and they allegedly argued about keeping a dog the 19-year-old had brought home with him a few weeks earlier. Wilson later told detectives he used a rifle from a locked cabinet and shot his mother in the back of the head while she was sleeping. The teen, who has prior criminal history, is charged with one count of murder and firearm possession. You killed your mama over a fucking puppy, bro. Karen.
Oh, that's 100% white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe.
Because you know a lot of black mamas, like my mama was like, look, if it don't speak English, it don't stay here,
don't pay bills.
Yeah, that was my mama's motto. She was like, no.
Norman Bates, white. Being called teen and not a grown-ass man, white. White Zoloff, white. When you teach, encourage each other to value animals more than people, white. White, white. Puppy lives matter, white. Wow, everybody went with white. Everyone's correct. That's his picture right there. He's pretty white. Oh wait, it's not showing up. Okay, there it is.
Yes, he is
pretty white.
Because the black one was like, I said no, and no mean no.
Definitely got a Hitler Youth vibe about him right there, all up in your screen.
Right, probably one of the few people that actually cared about you is gone, dog.
Yep, because that puppy is gone. One of the few. Oh, you talking about his mama? Yes.
Oh, the puppy gone too, because I wouldn't, you can't have an animal now. You in jail. You can't take the dog with you.
Oh, yeah, they don't let you have animals in jail. That's a good point.
So you lost your mama and your dog.
Mother of two, 28 years old, was arrested for leaving her children, age 3 and 8, alone in an Oregon park so she could go get a tattoo. Mm-hmm. Mama gotta have life too.
Apparently so.
A mother of two was arrested Saturday after leaving her children unattended in a park in Oregon. Anna Lisa Lara, 28. Spent the evening in jail after deputies were called to the Harleman Park in the city of Cornelius. The Hillsborough mother allegedly left her 3-year-old and 8-year-old alone for an hour as she visited a local tattoo parlor. Wonder what she got on there. According to officials, the two young children were found in public restroom by a stranger after they became frightened by the train. The family who discovered the youngsters were called police immediately. According to the News Times, Sergeant Bob Ray, a spokesman for the sheriff's office, said the children were frightened when it began to rain and hid in the park bathroom. Oh, they're frightened by rain. I don't know why I said train. Oh, okay, my bad. They're frightened by the rain, so they went and hid in the park bathroom.
Oh, because they got wet all of a sudden.
Well, they were in a car, so I guess the rainstorm was so bad they got scared and went to
thunder and lightning.
Yeah. Where is this from? Oregon. Okay, so it wasn't a hurricane. Authorities arrested Lara for first degree criminal mistreatment, recklessly endangering another person, and second degree child neglect. Records show that Lara, who's still in jail Saturday, has been held on $10,000 bond. Police revealed that they have left the two children with another family member. Then they have a bunch of pictures from her Facebook, and that's the end. Guess the race of Anna Lisa Lara.
Anna Lisa Lara is white.
Karen's going with white. All right, let's check the chat room. Let's see what you guys believe. Annalisa, her name might as well be Becky White. Fuck being a parent, white. leaving her children in the park in Oregon, white. White, no more wire hangers, white. Latina, the tattoos were of her kids' names, white. Ha! That's hilarious. The correct answer is, and most of you guys missed it, she's Latina. Oh, they're getting rowdy. One person got it right, so you get the golf clap. The rare golf clap on the Blackout Tips where all the other racists end up missing it. Wait, thing to show up. I don't know.
We see it.
Okay, cool. But yeah, she's Latina. And they do one of my favorite things in this article is after you do a crime where they go to your Facebook page and find all your thirsty, pictures, like all your pictures where you was looking for your thirst traps. Cause like they got a picture there, but then they got a picture here. Still showing off my hat, this Dragon Ball Z hat, so she's a nerd. But look at them titties all smushed up together, all up in your face. No, and then she got this,
that look like an Instagram post.
She got the laying on her back titty cleavage pic, you know, like That's my favorite thing. They always go find, like, it's like, this nigga killed 3 children. Here's him with his shirt off talking about going to the club.
I know. Here's him in his gray sweatpants.
Right. Yeah. Here he goes. Beer game tight. You know what I mean? Speaking of which, stop adding me to that fucking beer game group, guys. Okay. I don't need to see y'all's jealousy and arguments. I don't care. Facebook has some group about some beer shit that niggas is fighting about. I don't care.
No, thank you.
I know that's y'all pastime. Y'all bored at work. Y'all join these groups. Y'all get in fights. Y'all talk about it outside the group. That's cool. It's just not my thing. Please stop adding me to some shit that I'm gonna end up mad at people about. Mm-hmm. People still suck.
Yeah, so overall, don't take it personal if you add me to a group and I slowly slide my ass out.
I ain't no slow about it. I will fucking delete myself in a motherfucking heartbeat, and I will also be like, hey, stop adding me to shit. So don't add me.
Please don't. Please, y'all, it's because what people feel like, it's a lot of people that randomly add us to shit. Some we know, some we don't. Ask me and I will tell you yay and nay. Just don't add me because I'm taking myself out. And it's nothing personal against you. I don't want to be part of the group.
Yeah, people suck. I got on there to be my own dictator. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1. But can she end on a high note? We'll see. Police. It's always bad when it starts with police, right?
Is it capitalized? That's when you do it's last. Police!
Police, semicolon. That's the worst way to start an article.
Yeah. Sometimes police be all cap, too.
Police say a woman poured urine on a Washington, D.C. bus driver. More like Washington PC, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. It's hard to look at this video. It is disturbing and vile. This act occurred here at this bus stop on Minnesota Avenue near Benning Road. In the video, which you'll see in a second, you can see this woman standing right next to the bus driver inside the bus for at least a minute, holding a thermocup similar to this one, but it wasn't filled with coffee. Police saying it was filled with her own urine. Now, we want to warn you, it is disturbing. Metro Police saying that they have reason to believe that this woman urinated to that cop in the back of the bus with other passengers nearby. Then she stands next to the driver. When the bus stops, for some bizarre reason, the bodily fluids are thrown directly at the driver. The woman runs off the bus. The camera inside the X2 is clear. You can see the detail on the woman's face and her clothing. Now, there is a shield, but it only partially covers the driver. The union here, the ATU Local 689, has been calling for better protection on these buses for years after a number of drivers have been assaulted. The union writes in a statement, Metro must take accountability for their inaction to an increasingly dangerous problem. We have calls out to Metro as well to try to find out if any changes will be made after this disgusting incident. In Northeast Washington, John Gonzalez. Back to you inside.
That is pretty damn disgusting, I gotta say. Just throwing your pee on somebody. You think you are.
Do they got the woman's name?
Actually, let me see if they got an update on this. They might. Woman pleads guilty. Not guilty. Okay, so let me see if they got a name. I guess this at this point, we just had to pee bandit, okay? We didn't know who was doing this, but now we know.
Who committed all the
pee crimes? Yeah, who was for me? Let's see. Opal L. Brown. She's 38 years old of Southeast D.C. They may even have an interview with her. Let me see if I can find an interview with her. I might be able to get her side of the story. Her side of the urine. No.
Her side of the stream.
Yeah, let's get... let's see what's going on from her POV, you know what I'm saying, guys? I was provoked. I hate Metro, the woman said. Okay, so it is an interview. All right. what could possibly provoke me into peeing into a cup and then pouring it on somebody? I feel like that's a premeditated crime.
Yes, it is.
Or a pee medicated crime. In this case,
it happens so frequently. She pissed in front of people, and people are like, "Oh well."
Like, what? Yeah, like that's.
Thank you, Doug.
They pushed me to the edge.
The woman at the center of what has been the most viewed story on our app is in custody. She's accused of dumping a cup of her own urine on a Metro bus driver. But the story doesn't end there. The woman called us after seeing herself on our morning news. She wanted to tell her side of the story.
By the way, she pours the urine guy, like she throws the urine in the woman's face and then drops the cup like the gun in Godfather. Just run.
Only on News 4, Pat Collins was there as she turned herself in. Pat?
Doreen, the urine-tossed suspect in custody. Today, she apologized. Sort of. Today, she explained why she did what she did. Sort of. This is how the arrest went down.
Do you have anything to say?
I apologize to my community and all of my friends.
Opal Brown, the urine-tossed suspect, arrested today by Metro Transit Police at the La Fonte station. Why did you do what you did?
I'm not gonna say that, but I apologize to my community. I'm sorry, y'all, but she had to get it.
Why? Opal Brown.
I'm sorry, y'all, but she had to get it.
3 years old, the mother of three. She lives in Southeast. Police say Saturday on a bus, she relieved herself in a cup and then tossed a cup of her urine on a female bus driver. It happened on an X2 bus at a Minnesota Avenue stop. On her Facebook page, she confessed. Okay, y'all know it was me who did the bad stuff to the Metro operator, but I want to apologize to her, but Metro owes me, and she was being very rude. Opal Brown called News 4 this morning and talked to our Adam Tuss to explain why she did it.
No, Adam Tuss.
I was asking her, like, why is it so mean to the customers that come on the bus that is beating the cup? I'm going to pour it out. For real? I was going to pour it out because I had to redeem myself. That's all. Metro is inconsiderate, and their employees are some demons.
Police say the attack was unprovoked, that the bus driver just told Ms. Brown to have a nice day, and then the urine toss.
And then
expected in court tomorrow.
Going black, but go ahead.
What I mean, I guess it's possible to say have a nice day in a bad way.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like maybe it's a very sarcastic have a nice day.
I've done that.
You know, and maybe that's what it was. But I mean, I don't want to blame the victim here with this, but anyway, guess the race of Opal L. Brown, the urine bandit, guys in the chat room.
I'm going black.
Yeah Karen's going with black. Let's see, did you already ask him?
Yeah, I had to go up a little bit.
Girl, what the hell wrong with you, black? You don't know her life, Rod. Of course Miss Smart would go along with this. Black on that X2 bus, you can get anything from fake check stubs to your check cash or clean urine. That's what she had it for. Black, why black? I trust Opal's judgment. You don't throw pee without a solid long-standing beef. Oh Jesus. I have to be careful next time I see Miss Smart. I have to make her wash her hands when she touched me. Just keep pee on you like this. Of course she did. I stand with Opal. Y'all niggas are discussing in chat room. Like, what's going on? Like, I don't feel very comfortable with you guys in the chat room right now. Starting to get a...
Hey, yo, R. Kelly, what's up, man?
Certain kind of vibe. You
guys spend a lot of time with this girl, man.
Mm-hmm. All
right, tell me the script.
Chat room is giving me a certain type of vibe. And that's the exact type of vibe y'all are giving me right now. Okay. Anyway, all you Negroes guessed that she was black. And I don't know how y'all arrived at that conclusion, but y'all are correct. She was black.
Thank you.
Tony said, it was DC. That was sarcasm, Tony. Some of these are not serious comments, okay? I know how y'all knew she was black. Wait, am I still on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why it's showing me smaller now.
She very black.
But that's her picture right there, looking like Mary J. Blige with them shades.
She really thought that was okay.
She said they was rude. I mean, what you supposed to do when they rude, you know? You gotta throw some pee on them, according to Miss Smart. I mean, it's only reasonable.
Mm-mm.
All right, sword ratchet this time. What happened when you put pee on people?
But assume, what do you think they're gonna have bus drivers in, like a box, a bulletproof,
right,
piss proof box?
Might have to. I don't know how they're supposed to put more security on there for you than that. A man in a pirate costume produces a sword and a gun in a busy city center shop. A man who produced a sword and a gun at a busy city center shop in the early hours of the morning was arrested by a guard eye at the scene. 35-year-old man, who was understood to have been wearing a pirate fancy dress costume, entered a busy shop on Dame Street shortly before 4 a.m. in the early hours of Saturday morning. Witnesses described how the man was refused entry to the shop and as a result became aggressive with the staff. He allegedly produced a sword and a gun upon leaving the shop. Guard had confirmed to the independent.ie that they were alerted to the incident and restrained that man at the scene. He was arrested at approximately 4 a.m. He is currently detained on Section 30 OASA 1939 and remains in custody, guard had confirmed. Investigations to the incident are ongoing. The arrest occurred just hours after thousands spilled onto the streets of the Capitol to celebrate Culture Night. The Capitol hosted more than 600 diverse events throughout the night. Guess he was celebrating pirate awareness or some shit.
Duh.
What about pirate culture? All right, guys, this has been a long one. Okay, you guys got a long one on a Sunday when football was on.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because football is boring. I wasn't lying, guys.
Come on.
I ain't got no morals about this shit. Now I'm gonna take a knee and I'm gonna watch the second half of the Panthers probably losing to the Saints. I don't even know the score.
Yeah, probably gonna go get something to eat.
Right. I know I gotta go get a new case because I'm buying a new tablet because my old Samsung tablet battery lasts shorter than a motherfucker right now, y'all. It's crazy. Anyway, I will talk to y'all tomorrow and Karen will probably be here with me.
I will. And for those of you that are premium, you know The Walking Dead coming out tonight. Well, Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm recording a spoiler review for It with my man Brandon Collins from Movie Trailer Review, Medium Popcorn at 4 p.m. So I only got an hour and a half till then, so I gotta get ready for that. So premium people, you'll be getting that because I never stop working.
We never stop working.
All right, man, until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.